Super Gaming Best Friends. Super Gaming Best Friends. Monkey throwing barrels. Hunting ducks with dogs of scenarios, and we'll play with you.
It's Tuesday, October 30th, 2012, and you are listening to Super Gaming Best Friends live.
Crazy.
Or you're listening to the recording. We're currently recording this live on Twitch TV. We do this every Tuesday now. New thing. All of our podcasts live Tuesday nights.
If you can believe it.
It's pretty hot. I'm Josh Lee. I'm your host. I have Justin Lacey here with me today.
Brand new studio setup. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yep. It's the table has shifted 6 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And so have I, because of it.
But the computers have moved.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
We have 5 monitors for 2 people monitoring this podcast.
You're correct. We do have more. I actually have another monitor that's not being used there. And another one at work.
That sounds wasteful.
But you're correct. We should hook them up to something and start using them. I thought about that. I almost bought another... one of those Dell.
Hey, Josh, that's really interesting. Can you introduce the rest of us, please?
In a minute there, guy who I haven't named yet. I was thinking about a wall of them.
A wall of screens?
Yeah, just like what if I just mounted like a couple of, like the extra screens I have, plus I almost bought another one, and just like put them on this wall right here and have them like mirror all the other stuff. So you have them like all of them in one place, you can look and see every other thing that we have going on at once.
Isn't that how the architect got started?
Yeah, and then he turned into the colonel. We also have some guests from...
What?
We have a Louisville correspondent and a German correspondent with us here today.
Thank you.
You may recognize one Mr. Cole Monroe from games such as Gears of War and movies such as Star Wars.
What character do I play in Star Wars?
The Rancor. Mr. Cole Monroe. Welcome, Cole, to the show.
How do you feel about... We give the other guy the entire country as a correspondent, but we limit you to just the city limits of Louisville.
That's all I can really handle, honestly.
Yeah. What did you do this weekend in Louisville? Like, what exactly goes on there for people that don't know? Like,
what
everyone.
I did in Louisville, I drove to Indiana.
Wow.
I went to a farm, Huber's Farm, and got some delicious apple cider, which I am drinking.
Mm.
I like Huber.
Mm.
I like cider.
I don't know what that is.
Mm.
Not, I mean, I know what cider is. I don't know what Hubler. Wait, that's a car dealership here, I think.
Yeah, Huber's a farm. They have wine too, don't they?
Yeah, we went wine tasting. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Got drunk.
Yeah,
about it's a delightful 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's a delightful weekend. Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, that does. That sounds fantastic. You also hear there the voice of, like I said, our German correspondent. East German, is that correct? Ethan Moses?
I really don't know where I'm at all. actually, realistically, I'm holding all of Europe down at this point until we find somebody in one of the other countries. So,
European correspondent?
I'm European, Asian, probably African, Northern African at this point. And then are you guys closer to Australia or am I? That's probably me too. I'll just take them all. So the correspondent for everything but America at this point.
But do you
need to have an emergency meeting?
Have you been to the other countries yet?
Which ones? Those were continents that I named, actually.
In Europe.
No, I have not. I have not had the opportunity to leave my humble abode. I'm a little bit scared, a little bit nervous.
Then I don't think if you're not doing any coverage of those other areas, then I don't think you get to place them on a title.
Ooh, I can because I've spoken with a guy from Norway, a guy from Sweden, an Australian, and somebody that I'm pretty sure was from Vietnam. But I'm not sure. There's no way.
Not Skype or you actually saw these people.
Networking, dude. Network.
Are they seeking refuge?
I can't explain to you how I network. I just network. I like just networking like crazy. Like just I wake up and I network. That's what I do all day long is network. So, yeah, huge network right now. You guys are welcome.
Well, we have our audience is also multinational. So It's we're definitely. I feel like we're kind of getting ourselves out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've necessarily learned anything.
Unfortunately, we put our best Ethan forward.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Which is also our worst Ethan. Yes.
And, yeah. No, it's right in the middle. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm hoping to see some of these people in some of your videos. I'm hoping you're going to do at some point some interviews, maybe, or you just maybe just film these people. And they're film their lives.
I think you just need to trick them into becoming your camera people, because your one man show is
limit. Would just for anybody who's out there listening right now who happens to live near me or is willing to relocate for no money, I could use a camera guy, a sound person, maybe makeup,
maybe some on-screen catering talent.
Fluffer. Maybe a dog walker. I don't have a dog yet, but I'm planning on it. Sell a corgi I want. Gonna go for it.
My neighbor had a cat named Fluffer. It's kind of weird.
Fluffy.
Fluffer.
You heard it correct then? Okay. That's weird.
They were a conservative family.
Even weirder then. I don't think they knew what it meant. They didn't know. Well, I'm glad you could be with us, Ethan. I know the time difference is difficult for you, to say the least, and you're a real trooper for sticking it out week after week, and I know one day you'll break, but until then, we really appreciate your efforts.
Oh, I did last week. My cat pooped in my pants after the podcast. There was a podcast, and my cat literally pooped inside of my pants. So yeah, I broke last week. So don't worry, it's already done. I already did there.
You had to throw them away, correct?
I washed them.
Were you wearing said pants when the cat pooped in them?
No. Yeah. I had taken the pants off previously, and the cat pooped inside the pants while they were lying on the ground. No, I washed them out. They washed out perfectly fine. Dude, you don't waste things in this country.
Well, hang on.
The German people don't waste
they'd
things.
Understand. We've been through if enough. You threw away your cat
they waste
pooped
people
pants.
There.
I had a they waste people. They used to. I had a cat once that shit on my Star Wars tapes. I had my special edition box set, which some people would say is not a great loss.
He's not taking it,
but it was loose.
Mm-hmm.
It was very loose stool. So I ended up having to throw. I'm like, I can't save these tapes. I got to throw them away.
Well, you can't wash tapes. I don't think can you?
I don't know. Well, I'm not a.
You could try it. I mean,
I'm not a 90s AV guy, so I wouldn't know.
Were these like VHS tapes, or were they like Nintendo tapes?
VHS tapes.
Okay.
The second best kind of tapes. Anyways. All right, let's get this show started, guys, with our on-the-spot question of the week. This comes in from Kyle Starkiller.
It's true.
Disney bought Star Wars. What does it mean for video games? Like all video games or Star Wars video games?
That's a very broad question.
Yeah, it's very broad. Ethan, do you have an opinion on this?
I mean, not really. I think the last trailer we saw for Star Wars game looked pretty badass. I don't think there's much that Disney can do to fuck it up or make it better. So, yeah. No, whatever. Yeah, that's my opinion.
I take the side that neither Disney Interactive or LucasArts has a good track record at this point, but Disney Interactive might actually be better.
Wait a minute.
Lately.
The 3DS Mickey game coming out soon.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. I think Disney has a slight advantage, but neither one of them.
They're just going to license all that stuff. They said that on the call earlier. I wasn't personally on the call, but I know people that were.
Get Josh Lee on the line now. We need to talk about this. This is big.
Oh man,
this is big.
Yeah, as soon as the pen hit the paper, George was hit speed dial, talked to his people, and someone else heard from them and posted on Twitter, and then I read that. So, but everything went
6 degrees
to Disney. Like all the video game shit, all the movie property stuff. I mean, they even got Indiana Jones, but
ILM.
But they said, you know, they're gonna let all the different segments kind of just keep doing their thing. LucasArts is gonna keep doing their thing. ILM is doing their thing. So, you know, obviously they're gonna have their stamp of approval is going to go on stuff and whatnot, and it's their money. But like Star Wars 1313 shouldn't be affected by this, I don't think. You know, we'll see. But what could this mean for games? Cole, I bet you've got an idea. Well, that's
yeah,
okay.
Well, I know a lot of people on Twitter are fucking coming in their pants about a Kingdom Hearts Star Wars characters, and I think that's retarded.
Well, okay, so you obviously don't have an opinion.
That's a lot of collective cum. Holy shit. That's like, those are the two things that people come over the most outside of sexual intercourse is Star Wars and Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, that's, I think that's accurate.
Holy shit.
So,
I mean, if they haven't put Wolverine in a Kingdom Hearts game, yeah, they're not going to put a Star Wars character in there.
That's totally different, I think. I mean, granted, yeah, the Marvel stuff, they have a lot of shit for kids, and the kids like that stuff too. But Star Wars is like, I mean, they're going to turn this into, I believe, they're going to just, you're going to see this shit drop like crazy. Fucking no, toys, I mean, are going to go straight up your ass. I mean, the Clone Wars stuff is already is big, but...
Well, the stuff's already big.
Yeah, well, they said 2015, Star Wars Episode 7, and another movie every 2 to 3 years after
that. So is
that.
Cloud going to be in that one, that movie?
Yeah.
I hope so.
Cloud Sephiroth.
Yeah.
If they buy Square Enix in the meantime.
Lightsaber Omni-Slash. Tell me that doesn't sound cool.
I'm more excited about Marvel Star Wars crossovers.
How about a fighting game?
Masters of Terras Kasai,
yeah.
Plus Capcom or whatever, Capcom
versus,
Street Fighter
versus X-Men,
Marvel.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to really change anything. It'll probably mean more. It'll probably mean more Star Wars games. This is going to mean because they're going to make more Star Wars shit. So you know the games go along with that. So it's if you like Star Wars, this is a good thing. I think.
I don't know. I look at the combinations across the board in the video games, like there's like no increase or decrease. I think the like everything else gets stronger as far as like the direction for the movies and just the opportunities there and probably the other media, but video games, like I look at LucasArts and I look at Disney Interactive and like neither one of them are hitting home runs right now, so
we gotta wait and see what 1313 does, I think. But
yeah, but based on
Disney's not really putting out any gold right now.
Yeah, but you know, they're like the Marvel acquisition was I think recent enough that we haven't seen what that's gonna turn into. Like that X-Men Destiny thing was like that was all Disney didn't have anything to do with that.
Come on, Dennis.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, they're going to do licensing deals like they like has been done in the past. Maybe Disney will be more selective with that stuff. You know, we'll see. But I don't think that this can hurt like Star Wars in general, and I think for Star Wars games, like could they get any worse, you know? I mean like we were like fairly close to getting a Battlefront 3 that looked really cool. You know, a few years back, like the footage that leaked from that looked just awesome. And I think that would have completely changed the way people looked at the Star Wars games. And the Old Republic has just bombed. And you know, what else do you have? Star Wars Connect is just, by all accounts, hilarious. A huge piece of shit. So
the strongest Star Wars franchise right now is the Lego series.
Yeah. And that sold really well. I mean, that's done really well. Who's that?
Traveler's Tales. Is that right?
Who publishes that?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
LucasArts?
I don't know who publishes the Lego games.
Who publishes Lego shit?
I don't remember.
What the hell?
It's all Traveler's Tales. But.
Okay. So, well, and Disney has experience licensing their stuff out to them because they did Pirates. So,
yeah. I've got a question. I don't know if I was dreaming this or this just made up in my mind, but was there ever a Lego Eggo crossover like Eggos that could stack like Legos? Was that a real thing? I've been craving those and I wasn't sure if they were actually real.
Eggos?
Eggos, but they're Legos and you can stack them. You can make Eggo flavored Lego creations.
I think they're actually made out of big blocks or mega blocks or whatever. They are.
Duplo.
Yeah.
Duplo waffles.
Publishes those games.
Okay. Well, you could, I'm sure you could get like a little griddle thing that, you know, or just like the little waffle maker things. You could get one that just shapes it like that. That would then they
well,
would
I wasn't
stack.
Sure if that was actually a product. I was going to go look for it at the grocery if it was a product.
It doesn't exist in nature, if that's what you're asking.
Well, maybe I was. And I guess maybe Eggos themselves don't exist in nature. They're a combination of a multitude of different products. Yeah. So,
It's obviously your area
you learn
of expertise.
Every day.
Now I want some waffles.
Oh, I do too, man.
I like waffles. I had some of the best waffles and the best pancakes recently. Oh, man, they were good. At home. Well, they were from home.
Wait, at the same time?
No.
Also,
you can't mix your breakfast things.
Also, I got to say, Jack in the Box mini pancakes, they look cute as hell, but they're a little dry, not so great.
Are they?
Yeah.
So that's a bad thing about mini pancakes. They can't, you know, I don't know, man.
They don't trap the heat, plus it's, you know, it's Jack in the Box.
It's really going to hurt the Jack in the Box brand when the quality dips like that.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. All right, thanks for the email, Kyle. You can send in your questions to ask@horriblenight.com, and we will maybe answer them on the air if they're awesome like that one. And timely, incredibly timely. That happened just maybe an hour ago.
I thought everybody on my Twitter feed was breaking the news for 3 hours.
Yeah, right.
Nonstop.
All right, guys, I want to know, what are you playing? Cole Monroe, you been playing video games? Yes or no?
I have.
Yes?
I've been playing a lot of video games.
Okay, cool. Ethan, have you been playing video games?
I have.
All
I
right.
Been video
let's
games.
Let's go ahead and Gutenberg Cole. Ethan, what have you been playing?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. That was
starting off with an early Gutenberg.
Man, I didn't. I thought we'd done away with the Gutenberg. I'm a little bit off kilter now.
It's
but
back.
Okay, I'll go ahead. Sorry, Cole. I apologize, man. I had
it's
nothing to do with this.
Never apologize for
what
Gutenberg.
Has to do with this. Okay, well, I'm going to take this Gutenberg and raise you, I'm not going to Gutenberg myself, I guess. So, number one game that I played is Zombie Driver HD. I actually own the original Zombie Driver, which if it seems like a corny game, it kind of is, and that's okay. But actually, I got Zombie Driver HD for half price as a result of owning the previous one. However, it has already gone half price for this week because of a Halloween sale. So I don't know. I don't know if I feel bad about that or not.
iOS?
Are we kicking off the show with an iPad game?
No, it is. I got it on Steam. It is on iOS, I do believe, but I have it on Steam, actually. I got the original in a Steam sale a long time ago, kind of dabbled with
wait,
it. Dibbled,
but wait, Zombie Driver's not that old. It wasn't. They didn't have HD resolutions? Like, they didn't have, like, 720 and 1080? Originally,
and that was actually something that I was going to kind of maybe discuss openly in this forum is that
please do
like the concept of an HD version of a game. I don't know if everybody fully understands what that means. To me, an HD is starting to become synonymous with a remake or a reimagining, which is what this game is. It's not Zombie Driver HD just with different graphics. There's a whole lot of different stuff, you know, incorporated with it, new storyline and that kind of stuff. So that was kind of a pleasant surprise, but a little bit confusing as well.
Could the acronym be representative of some of the new story content instead? Kind of like Harmony of Dissonance, or what was the kind
of Harmony of Despair?
Yes.
No.
One of the two. Anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Something.
Yeah, I don't know. I assumed it was HD as in high definition, but
you could be
onto something.
Be
I'll have
dead.
To research that. But you know, to the game. So I love Renegade Ops, and I want every game that, you know, looks kind of like Renegade Ops to play like Renegade Ops, and that's just not realistic, and I know that, and I absolutely do. And, you know, Zombie Driver is all fun in terms of what it's offering, but it is probably the most frustrating game in terms of control and just the fact that you're driving in a vehicle killing zombies, but you stop a lot to shoot them and you have to turn around, and it doesn't feel like a driving game. It almost feels like you're like they kind of want to incorporate like a shooter in a vehicular combat game, but they haven't quite figured out how to make the vehicular combat
so they just
flow.
Stop so they just stop one thing to do the other one is what you're saying?
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's just it's kind of like there's like a flow to it. Like, you know, with Renegade Ops, you didn't stop. Like, you kept going. You know, the way you maneuver and that kind
of
stuff.
Well, you did a lot of like
so is it like the
circling the enemy?
Well, yeah.
like a circle drive.
Evil of driving shooting games. You can't drive and shoot at the same time.
You know what?
Time.
That's actually. That's, I mean, you can. So Ethan, but the environments themselves are well designed in terms of aesthetics, but like in terms of actually mechanics, they're not. Like they just it everything's kind of narrow. There's certain things that you can run through or break, and certain things that you can't. So you just come to these dead stops. So I'm kind of at a loss
with
this game.
That's a better name, I think. Dead stop. Well,
but I mean it's cool, you know, it has its merits, but I'm just there's some wonkiness to it that is really disrupting, and I can't really get into it, you know, like I've gotten maybe 7 levels into it. I'm hitting a wall, and I don't know. I think
year,
after playing Renegade Ops, it's tough to go to these games again, you know what I mean? Like it's that game was just so well done on all levels, but from, you know, like control wise, it was smooth as hell. So I think maybe I ruined Zombie Driver for myself.
That's a shame.
Oh.
That's a terrible face.
Yeah, this this is what happens when you try to use the internet from
Germany, from other continents.
From how many? I was trying to think of like how many miles that would be. I have no idea.
1,200 miles.
1,200? That's not true. That can't be right.
It's like Florida.
That wouldn't even put you in the ocean. Like I have no idea what like the scale of the planet. All right, a little technical difficulty there with Ethan, skyping in from all the way across the ocean. Cole, let's switch over to your games, man. What have you been playing?
Okay, I've been playing a lot of 3DS games. Got the XL a couple weeks ago. Sold my OG 3DS to somebody at work, so
you didn't
just
give
got
it to
straight
your
up cash for that. What's that?
You didn't give it to your wife?
No, she didn't want it. So, yeah, I see the Street Pass light there, Josh Lee.
Finally.
Got it to work.
So then I downloaded a bunch of games, and I've been playing a ton of The Legend of Zelda, the original one.
Oh, NES.
NES, because I never really played that game at all. Had some friends that had it and watched them play, but never beat it on my own. So I decided to, you know, set out and beat it. And I am now currently on level 8, the dungeon 8. So I play a couple hours every night and kind of go through the... doing the strategy guide thing and just kind of getting walked through it just because I just want to jam through it as fast as I possibly can. And I know I tried to play it a bunch of times on my Wii, and I'm terrible. Completely terrible.
Well, it's not an easy game.
No, it's not. And I didn't know where to go or what to do when I first started. So I was just like, I just kept getting killed over and over again to the point where I stopped playing it. And then, like I said, you know, opened up a guide and said, give me some heart containers and let's go.
So that's the route you took was like, okay, wait a minute. In the first Legend of Zelda, you couldn't really, it wasn't like Metroid where you could just kind of go out of your way to grab, like to power up before
you
progress, right?
Well, you can get heart containers. Yeah, you can.
There are plenty of those.
You can get like 3 or 4, and then you can, buy some stuff. You can get the Master Sword and a big shield and the ring pretty early.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, because I've never played a Zelda game all the way through without a guide.
Huh.
Like I couldn't possibly. So, like, just in case you're worried about being judged from this side. Not happening.
I'm not worried about it at all. If I was, I wouldn't have said anything about it and said, I'm a great gamer.
And it's not like he takes my opinion seriously in that regard.
Not at all.
So you feel that...
Because you'll just change your mind in a couple weeks anyway.
It's not the pure way to play.
No. I'm comparing this back to what we had available as kids when it first came out. And like, how did I get through it?
What was different?
We had a huge map, and that came with the game, right?
I don't remember.
And you could you know, follow it by going that route.
Yeah, I think the map. Yeah, I do remember using
the official Nintendo Player's Guide. had the guide, had all the maps for it, and
I know
and
I didn't
got
have
that.
The player's guide for yeah. it. But
well, like not the
I had the map.
I don't think they had an individual one at the time, but they had this thing. It was like it was you've seen it. I've got it. It's here. I've got a it's a black book, and it's got like it's basically like a catalog of you know like check out these games, kids. They're really fun. You got to buy them.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
But some there were a few games that had like a full guide in it, and Legend of Zelda is one of them. So I used that map to know where to go. So Nintendo Power was like your game facts back then.
Yeah.
So like I had a guide for
You're right.
Fucking Ninja Gaiden 2. Like you know what I mean? Like I had everything had a guide.
I forgot how much. I mean that was just integrated into our gameplay really, cuz especially for anybody that had Nintendo Power. It's just kind of second nature. But I mean, honestly, my Legend of Zelda memories are I used to just kill time playing that game. Just like, I got into a habit after I've played a game for, you know, several weeks or whatever it was, that I was just listening to music or whatever with the game sound completely down and just running around like not.
Why would you turn off the in-game music?
That's... Because I played it for like 60 hours in the last 2 weeks.
It's just one song over and over
probably
again.
Was. It was probably
did you beat it
or two
during
songs.
That time?
There's dungeon songs.
I think I beat it prior to that, and then once I beat it, I would just kind of hang out and play the game, and because it was the game I had.
Wow, you played it a lot, though.
Yeah.
Wow.
I did that with that game and with Castlevania 3. Those are my two, like, lots of weekends dedicated to just hanging out playing those games.
Do you have any friends when you were a kid?
Sometimes. Hmm. Didn't really invite them in to play.
When your mom invited the kids over.
When she kicked me out of the house and made me socialize.
When she invited over like kids, of like aunts and shit. So you ended up beating it then on...
No, I'm still working on it.
Oh, okay.
I'm on the 8th dungeon and then I hit the 9th. And then isn't there a second quest as well?
Yeah, you put in Zelda as the character's name.
And it's just harder, right?
Mm-hmm.
Probably something that I don't need to deal with.
So I don't think I realized you hadn't played this one, and kind of explains your adoration for Zelda 2, because you're a...
Yeah, because that was like the first one I owned, mm-hmm. and I think you know you love what you are experienced with in the first go-round. So.
Staunchest defender of absolutely. That game that
but,
I know.
But have you played that recently?
Oh, yeah, I've played it.
Zelda 2, and you think it holds up?
I still
up?
Like it. It's fucking hard as hell, but I like it.
Like, aren't the town sections just absolutely stupid, though? I mean, I'm talking I'm not even going to talk about the difficulty levels, because I'm bad at whatever, but the town stuff was just dumb. It was just...
It is dumb. I mean, I don't defend the towns, but I just, you know, like I said, I think it's just something you experience as a kid, and, like... For example, I tried to show... Gar never saw the movie Goonies when she was a kid, and we tried to watch it, and she couldn't. She was like, this is stupid. And I think a lot of times, like, you go back and look at games like that as well. So, I don't know. I just have a special place in my heart for it, despite its faults.
Have you seen the Adventure Time game for 3DS that's coming out?
Yeah, it looks awesome.
It looks like Zelda 2. Like,
it does,
but maybe better. I don't know. Have you ever watched a show? Are you
no? I've never watched the show, and I don't really know what it's all about. But I watched the trailer for the game, and it looks awesome, and kind of can't wait for it.
I've seen, I don't know, maybe like a dozen episodes of the show. Just like I've caught it, you know, on TV now that I got cable back. And it's good. It's good in the way that, like, I don't watch cartoons anymore. I mean, maybe like stuff from, you know, like I would watch like Transformers or G.I. Joe or something for nostalgia, but I don't watch, you know, today's cartoons. Like I don't have kids and I'm not around them that often. So, but that one, you know, like how a lot of adults like, you know, Aqua Teen, Hunger Force and stuff like that. It's like, it's funny or whatever. This has a humor that's way more, it's not like, it's never dirty. It's not ever really dirty. It's silly, but I don't know. I'm trying to think of like comparisons, but really, it's more just like a lot of like fantasy and video game references and stuff like that. Like you kind of just, if you play games and you ever played D&D and all that kind of stuff, you just automatically just get everything. It all just makes kind of sense to you. And then they throw this level of just like goofiness on top. That's just so fun. Like, if you don't like it, you're probably just kind of a depressing human being that no one wants to be around. It's stupid out like that. It's just dumb. Like, well, you're either wearing a hipster hat or you got something up your ass. So Adventure Time is pretty cool. And I do suggest you like just watch a couple of episodes just so you kind of like get it. Because I'm way more pumped for that game because I know like who the Ice King is and, you know, all that kind of shit. But it looks fun.
Okay.
It actually looks fun. And it looks like Zelda. Definitely. It looks just like Zelda 2. I'm obviously on purpose, but
it's an interesting choice.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, but done like a little bit easier, I guess. Like the formula kind of works. It's overworld plus side scrolling levels. Like it's not like that foreign of an idea. It was weird. It's weird for a Zelda game, but it's just like a mix of Dragon Quest or Final Fantasy overworld plus an action game. Like no one else has done that I know of. But
I'd be curious to see if I end up playing it.
Actorizer, I guess, would be
because I haven't given the show a chance. I put it in my category of if it's a geek joke that I don't understand, it's either a Doctor Who reference, a Harry Potter reference, or an Adventure Time reference.
Sure. So what else you got, Cole?
Then I went out and bought New Super Mario Brothers 2. I'm hitting the 3DS hard.
Get your money's worth.
And
yeah.
Yeah. And
Oh, you don't like it.
I don't know if I like this game or not.
Oh.
I kind of side with a lot of the reviewers, I guess. It's just more of the same. Although, like, the difficulty on some of the levels is definitely there. It's not just a walk in the park. And some of the coins, you know, the 3 coins you have to collect each level. Some of them, I have no idea where they are. Cannot find them at all. But it's just, it doesn't hold my attention very long. I'll play, like, 3 or 4 levels and then get bored of it. And wonder why I bought it.
I really thought you were going to like this.
I really wish it was Super Mario Brothers, New Super Mario Brothers 2, like the Super Mario Brothers 2 new version. It would have been much better for me.
Hmm.
But so I'm kind of worried about whether or not I want to get the Wii U version when I finally get a Wii U.
I'm curious to see.
But I probably will because it'll be fun multiplayer.
Yeah, that's the difference is you're going to play that with other people on the couch.
And which game got the A team? I wonder. I felt like there was less pressure on New Super Mario Brothers 2.
Well, the HD graphics will be nice too.
Yeah,
yeah, that's something I haven't processed yet. Is like what that's going to look like because we've never seen a Nintendo game. Oh, actually, that's not true. I have I've played some games in Dolphin, the emulator, some Wii games. Excuse me, and they look great, like really good, and I'm not gonna say I'm like a graphics whore, but like if something looks nice, like I notice and I'll say something like, you know, man, that shit looks nice, you know, and like it's just to be able to say that about like a Mario game might be kind of cool. those games are fun to, you know, to dick around, you know, with, but it seems like more and more all of us are kind of getting farther and farther away from the couch co-op stuff. So
maybe
is that the kind of game you want to play online? Like I don't even know what it's going to have online. But
I don't know.
I don't want to say automatically no anymore because Nintendo. I'll give them a chance, but I don't.
So what do you think it was missing, Cole? Yeah. What's the difference?
I don't know. I think it's more just
too soon.
It's too new or too soon. Yeah, mm-hmm. Too soon for that style of game over and over again.
What level design is everything in a Mario game, though? And if you don't,
and there are some clever level designs, and it's just kind of crazy to me to think like, wow, they keep coming up with new stuff. But while that is a little interesting, it doesn't make up for just the lack of funness in those levels, I guess.
Well, okay. So you played the DS Mario Brothers, and you played the Wii. New Mario Brothers, correct? Okay.
Yes.
That's my boat, too.
So, can level design, a good level design, save the Wii U version? I mean, is that it? Because I mean, I'm.
Did you play through the Wii version completely?
Yes. Okay. And the DS version.
Okay. I got halfway through the Wii version, but I'm less patient. So.
And part of me bought it for my wife to play because she loves the series too.
Is she enjoying it?
She hasn't played it yet.
Oh.
Okay.
But she doesn't handle 3D. I mean, she played the crap out of Super Mario 3D Land, but she really likes the side-scroller ones. And I think she'll have a lot of fun with it. But again, I think...
I'll be curious if she does.
It's just... What's that?
I said I'll be curious if she does.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because she played the crap out of the DS version and the Wii version too.
This is the closest to a panning of a Mario game we've had since Sunshine, so...
Yeah.
The Sunshine didn't get
and the coin. The coin stuff is stupid. It's I don't know. They shouldn't have focused on it. I guess so much.
I remember when it came out. When it came out, people were talking about the devaluation of the Mario coin and how it just had taken all the fun out of collecting coins at all. And
yeah,
your reward for it is so minimal. That million coin mode or whatever changes the title screen like you fucking won a circuit on Mario Kart.
Right.
And then you're not going to get the DLC, is that what you're telling me? Because they're just about to release the second patch of DLC.
No, that second one's out already.
Oh, man.
I think it came out last week.
So, but you played 3D Land as well.
Yes, I've been playing. So, I guess we'll just move on to that. When I got the XL, that's the first game I played. I loaded up my game and I restarted from the beginning. And enjoyed the hell out of it. I haven't beat it yet because then I got sidetracked by Legend of Zelda. But it's a great game. It's super easy in the beginning, and then it gets really hard as you go through the game.
I heard it gets even more brutal, too.
Yeah, I'm in the second half, or the second eight worlds.
Oh, okay.
Second out of the eight.
Okay.
Second half of the game. Yeah, it already gets harder. There's this fucking purple Mario. I don't know if you guys have played the second half of that game, but
I haven't gotten that far yet.
No. Shadow Mario, he just follows you and kills you on touch.
It's not cool.
Well, I mean, if you have power ups, then he just
it's not nice.
Yeah, right. it's terrible because you got to jump around to get those three golden coins, and if you jump back right into him, happens all the time.
Fuck.
He's an asshole. It's really hard.
That's what they should call him, Asshole Mario. Like, Shadows get a bad name with all these games. Just call what
purple,
he is.
Purple Asshole
Mario. It's me, Asshole Mario.
And he makes this, like, screaming, like, rah! He kind of sounds like Waluigi and Wario.
I'm going to give you the bad touch.
But see, that's where the level design is... It stands out. It's something new in a Mario game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Whereas, New Super Mario Bros. 2 is just more of the same.
That surprised the hell out of me that I was finding Mario 3D Land novel in that regard.
Yeah, it's so clever in some of the level design.
The first time you, like, climb all the way to the top of a level and you have to, like, jump down, like, and then the 3D really comes into play, that was like, I was just surprised. Like, they got me again. Like, I love Mario.
It doesn't feel like a Mario 64 or Galaxy or Sunshine. It doesn't feel like any of those. Like it's
his own thing.
It's like a hybrid.
I mean, it is its own thing, and I've heard people say like, well, it's like a 3D Mario with 2D sensibilities, and it's not even that. Like they really, it's not gimmicky. I mean, the 3D's cool.
No.
And I can't believe you play without the 3D, but it's not like the pacing is a little
without the 3D.
The pacing's a little more deliberate. It's like you've played 3D games before, so it's not like Mario 64 was just like, whoa, you just spent half the time going, oh my god, it's in 3D, whoa. And here here you're like, okay, I know how this controls, I know how this works, but they just use the 3D space like. In a really efficient way. That's how I feel. Like, they don't waste anything. And that's maybe the best part about it. You always know where to go. There's no bullshit. I mean, there's secret stuff is in there, and it's cool. But it's like, if you just try to, if you're just like playing it straightforward, it's not like you're getting lost or anything like that. It's, it's never disorienting.
And the levels aren't too terribly big.
No, no. Yeah, just really efficient.
Actually pretty small.
We had a question in the chat about whether what the story was in the new Mario games. Sorry to disappoint. There's really nothing interesting going on in any of these. Unless, Cole, you can.
Well, I think the best part about New Super Mario Bros. 2, and I think we kind of said this about New Super Mario Bros. When it first came out, or maybe the Wii version, that it was a kind of a sequel to Super Mario Bros. 3. And this one is definitely could be seen as a sequel to Super Mario Bros. 3. You have the Tanuki suit. You can actually fly. All the Koopa kids are in it. So it's definitely, it's got that nostalgia factor, but at the same time, it's just kind of boring.
Is it a kidnap the princess scenario?
Yeah. The Koopa kids kidnap the princess.
I haven't cared about a Mario storyline since, since on the Super Show, you know, the sexual tension between Nicole Eggert and Lou Albano, you know, whether they were going to hook up or not. Like, I haven't cared about a storyline since. What else you got, Cole?
And quickly, I went and I said before, I went through a downloading crazy or frenzy and downloaded Mighty Switch Force, Cave Story, Night Sky, which came out last week. So I'll just talk about them, I guess, briefly. Mighty Switch Force is a way forward game. I think you guys talked about it.
I've played it last briefly, week. But yeah. I want to hear what you say.
Yeah, it's. I enjoy it. It's. I guess I thought there would be more of a story than there is, because it's just like individual levels that you play, and then they can be done. Like, it's basically a time trial.
Yeah.
Levels where you just try to solve their little puzzle as fast as you can. I think the mechanic is pretty interesting. I just wish it was more of a, I don't know, story-based game or more of a continuation game, not just a puzzle. Oh, each level is its own thing.
I'd agree. It's and it's kind of one-dimensional. I mean, it's
yeah.
A puzzle platformer, and they do, you know, they're constantly having to switch things in the level. That's what it's for. But I thought there'd be more to it, but then it's not also not that expensive of a game. So
yeah, right. And then Cave Story, the 2D version, but, you know, 3D for the 3DS, the one that's on the eShop.
Yeah, I bought this. I haven't played it yet, so I'm...
It's phenomenal.
Oh, great.
It's phenomenal. It's great. Very, you know, Metroid-like. It's way deeper than I thought it would be, like, in terms of story.
This is your first time playing a Cave Story?
Yeah, I've never played
Cave Story. Oh, holy shit. Okay, cool.
And... So I didn't know what it was, really. I didn't know what to expect. I knew it was kind of like the Metroidvania style.
Right.
But yeah, I really enjoy it. I played a lot of Cave Story.
Like, it's got a super cute story, like, and it looks like Fez, and
yeah,
it's got, yeah, there's so much personality. It just like oozes out of this game. It's not a sandbox.
Shoot the
hell
out of shit.
Yeah. Like, there's a narrative to it, you know, through the whole game, but the gameplay itself, it's Metroidvania, but you know, you have guns. So, you know, and it's, and they're fun. It feels right. And,
The controls are really tight and there's, you know, there's puzzle elements as well. They're not too deep, but a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just really enjoy it.
And this is in the version you're playing, just elaborate here, like they have the 3DS version is Cave Story Plus, which got released on Steam for the PC, and it's like the original 2D pixel art, but it's been 3D-ized,
right, which is the one
which
it's
works,
not the box copy, the Cave Story 3D, which is the
which
box
is
copy.
Completely new artwork, same game,
yeah,
as far as I know, but it's a completely different art style, and it's actually everything's 3D rendered, and this is like, and I like this 2D art style. I think this works for 3D, for the 3D games. Oh. I think this works really well. It's super easy to focus on.
Outside of Mario 3D Land, those have been my favorite uses of 3D.
Yeah, like Mutant Muds is the same way. Which, have you played that?
Mutant Muds is really good. Yeah, I've played it.
Okay.
The demo of it.
That's getting a Wii U shop release.
Right.
like a apparently like right around launch. It's a like a launch window title, which will be fun to. I don't know how that's.
That game's hard.
You MUDs?
Yeah. It
Yeah, it is. It is hard.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
And but it's, I don't
know. There are spots that are hard, I think.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like...
Controls are tight, though. It's you always feel like you could have done better, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's always my fault, but I'm always surprised when I'm playing through a level and I get like 3/4 of the way through it, and then I die and I have to redo everything.
Sure.
And yeah, I get really frustrated about that.
Yeah, for me in the demo, it's more of a timing issue with like using the jetpack and then the platforms that disappear, you know. Kind of... Yeah, I always die when that happens.
I think it's weird. I kind of dislike it for that because it. I'm finding every time I die, I don't have. I'm more annoyed that I have to repeat the level. I'm not in like I'm enjoying almost solving the level, but not having to replay stuff for Mutant MUDs. But at the same time, I really love the design of it, and it's also missing something. Like it's really. It has a very simplistic presentation, and that's kind of its strength, too, but I find myself wanting something more or else, or... I don't know.
It is simple, but it really, even in that regard, it kind of harkens back to some kind of really old school... Like, it looks like an NES game, you know, like that kind of... You know, it looks like almost 8-bit.
Yeah,
or something.
It does.
And it really plays like one, too. And I had the same feeling of like, I wish there was something, maybe there's more to this game. It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's almost a compliment because I like the game. I like everything about the game so much. Like, I want there to be, it's like, well, gosh, why can't we have all this other stuff to go along with it? But really, it's never trying to be anything more than that. Maybe the Wii U version of it, you know, actually will do something different with it. And it doesn't have 3D, so, you know, maybe it kind of has to. I don't know. But this is like when you fire up the game. There's the intro isn't some big story setup. It's like the kid's like sitting in front of the TV, and it's like aliens are here, and he's like, oh, and he's like laying on the floor with his head in his hands watching, and then he jumps up, throws on his backpack and like or his jetpack, and then runs outside and starts fighting aliens. it is very short, and it's just such a. I mean, that's just how that's what you expect out of that kind of retro game. And then the mechanics they're simple enough. They're super solid, but they're simple. Like this would normally have been like a game that you beat in like an hour, you know, or two, like, you know, like yeah. If this had come out on like an old system or something. So I don't think you can fault it for not being deeper necessarily, especially because it's really cheap too.
Yep. It's charming as hell.
Yeah. It's a little downloadable game for something you just like fire up. And I got to say this. Every time I open up my 3DS for like a quick game session, like in the bathroom, I'll just go through and move my cursor around on my different icons for all my games. When I go across the Mutant MUDs one, that little jingle that plays, the little like chiptune jingle that plays, always pumps me up. I'm like, I'm so much more likely to play that game because that little do 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 that thing. Every single time. Agreed? Not agreed. No.
Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed.
I've had the sound down too much.
Why you just hating on game sound? You just always got to be like rocking the radio in the background.
No, this
What's up with that?
This is a completely different setting than when I was 10. 30 in the living room while other stuff's going on.
Headphones.
Headphones are rude sometimes.
Earbuds.
Yeah,
one earbud.
Trying to talk to you.
Yeah. One earbud on the opposite side of the woman.
And up your sleeve has to be hidden.
Yeah. Yep. Coming up the back of your ear. You're like fucking Secret Service. You'll never know.
That's right.
What else, Cole? What else?
And then Nice Guy, real quick, is a puzzle game that I think was out on.
This is on Steam. This has been in Humble Bundles before.
I don't know this one.
Yeah, so you basically are a ball, and it's a puzzle platformer. You kind of roll around, solve puzzles, get through each of the levels. There's different mechanics, like you can boost your ball, or you can have your ball just stay in one spot. It's very like Limbo kind of style graphics, like it's very dark and or what was that What was the one with the Lantern Run? What was that game called?
Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet.
Kind of like Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet. They're a little bit of color, not much, and it's just it just came out for the 3DS on the eShop last week, I believe.
Oh.
And it's the music is phenomenal. It looks really good. I think they tried to they were going to do tilt control in the 3DS, but then they decided they weren't going to do the 3D effect. But
yes, like you had to pick one or the other.
They did the 3D effect, and they said it looked great, so they didn't do the tilt effect, which I think, you know, obviously you can't do both or you'd lose your 3D focus. But it's a really cool game. I recommend checking it out. And just
eShop.
Yeah, eShop is killing it.
I had to just confirm this by looking it up, but Niflis made this, the guy who did Knit and Within a Deep Forest. Knit, K-N-Y-T-T, like the little platformer, little indie platformers. Really, really popular on the PC.
I'm glad this stuff's showing up on the 3DS. Like, I remember kind of giving a big hell yeah when the eShop, because there's just a lot of those platformers that are showing up on Steam. Like, they'd be great. I want them on a handheld, and
right,
they're 3DS
is in perfect shape to pick those up. And I hope Nintendo continues to make that happen.
Yeah, they seem to be doing a really good job. Like, I had no idea about Nightfall. I saw it on some website that said it was coming out, and I just downloaded it. I thought, you know, puzzle game with a kind of a unique twist to it would be right up my alley, and I really enjoy it. And like I said, you'll have to turn this game up if you play it, Justin, because the music is really good.
Thanks for the heads up.
I know. I see you've got one more game on your list, Cole, and I'm gonna ask you to save it because I also. Oh God! Now I got to segue into it. Okay, so. Let's talk Punch Out for a minute.
All right,
you played the original recently. I just played Super a little bit.
Okay,
tell me about your experience with Punch Out featuring Mike Tyson.
Well, mine is not featuring Mike Tyson, unfortunately. It's Mr. Dream.
Wah,
because
wah.
I've been playing it on the 3DS, and I used to hate playing it on the 3DS because the controller was too small and the star button was the start button, and it's kind of a big reach, and it still is on the XL, but it's easier to play with my big Rancor/Brumac hands.
Rake Mac.
But
the honestly, bunch of bananas. It's
one of my favorite games of all time, and I really like the way it looks on the 3DS screen. It looks phenomenal. It reminds me of playing it on a tube TV almost. And it's not like overly crisp and smooth.
Well, because it's upscaling. It's not 1-to-1 pixel, you know, matching. So there's a little bit of approximation, which is going to give it that little tiny bit of blur.
Then I kind of like it. But what I also really enjoy about the 3DS and virtual console games on the 3DS is you can have restore points anytime you want.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
After I beat, after I beat Mr. Sandman, restore point. Or before I got to him, restore point. After I beat him, restore point. After I beat Super Macho, if I ever beat Super Macho Man, restore point. So it makes it huge. Say, I know I could insert the code every time, but I feel like I still have my single game run up to that restore point.
Right.
So I haven't died.
That's still your little Mac.
What's that?
That's still your little Mac, right?
Yeah, it's my little Mac, and it's one of those games you just pick up and try to get a quick 10 minutes of gaming in. And. And I love it. It's, like I said, it's one of my favorite games of all time, and I can't stop playing it.
So I have, I've been trying to play Super Punch-Out recently, and I'm actually playing this on my this is not available on the 3DS virtual console.
Yet.
They don't have any Super Nintendo games on there.
Not yet. Yeah, well, they do for the early buyers, but not.
Fuckers.
What do they have for the ambassador program for the Super?
Ambassador,
I thought they did, didn't they? Maybe they didn't.
I don't think so. I think they have Game Boy Advance.
I thought they had like Links to the Past.
Ooh, they may. They may, but I thought it was just NES and Game Boy Advance. Like they had like Metroid Fusion or Zero Mission or something like that. But I don't think, which is pretty close to a Super Nintendo game. But
yeah, yeah.
Maybe somebody in the chat can correct us. I don't know. So, so I actually bought. Now, let me just disclaimer here. I don't pirate shit if I can buy it. Okay. Or
yeah, it's all. And, I just looked it up. It's Yoshi's Island. I haven't already bought it. Mario Advance 3.
You've been an owner of this game.
I've been an owner of this game twice. So, I've got a flash card for my 3DS to play emulators, NES and Super NES, for shit that I can't buy. So, and I mean, it's like a couple of bucks. I don't have a problem like buying shit, but there's no fucking reason that they don't just dump all this shit on the virtual console. There's no, if some dudes in like Taiwan can make a little thing for $30 that'll play every single NES and Super NES game just flawlessly on my 3DS, I'm pretty sure Nintendo could manage the same thing. Pretty sure. So put the shit on there and I'll buy all these games. Anyways, so I've got my Super Nintendo emulator. I did this with my PSP as well. Like it got the most use doing that, playing Super Nintendo games. So I'm playing Super Punch Out. It runs great on this thing and it looks good and all that stuff. But I am super bad at that game. I am not terrible at the original Punch Out, but Super Punch Out is fucking hard.
It is hard. How far have you gotten?
I mean, I don't know.
The old man?
Yeah.
With the kendo or the bow staff?
No, I haven't gotten that far.
That guy is impossible.
what's his name? The bear. That guy.
I think he was in the new Punch Out as well.
I can beat him. And then they've got like bald bulls in there. Now I'm completely blanking on the dudes because now I'm picturing Wii Punch Out.
I loved how big they were in.
It looks really good.
It looks great.
It kind of reminds me of like the arcade version of Punch Out. But that is like it's a completely different difficulty level for me. Like for I don't know what it is. It's something about like just like that first dude can beat my ass. Glass Joe will never touch me on Punch Out. But right. But like the first guy in Super Punch Out will like beat my fucking ass. But you're right though about like how because like a fight in Punch Out. Super Punch Out, the fights can go a little bit longer, but it's like they're really just they're like bite size. They're like 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes for the long ones, but it's perfect for like that on the road, on the go thing. And I really wish they would just make like a handheld version of Punch Out, like give me 3DS Punch Out. Like that sounds fucking awesome. And you know what?
Yeah, like the they probably will.
I wouldn't be opposed to like the touchscreen stuff if you could bring your thumbs in from like hold it so you don't have to touch any buttons, no buttons, and you just like can boom with your thumbs.
It could play like Infinity Blade maybe.
I don't know. I've never played Infinity Blade.
No, they always rip that game for being a medieval punch out. So,
but just like something about like the punching action, but the way my thumbs would always do the controller with Punch Out. Like, I mean, I press the button way harder in Punch Out than any other game.
You know what I mean?
And so, like, it sounds like touchscreen material.
Did you ever play the Wii version?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was solid. Mm-hmm. I thought it was decent.
Did you play with motion controls?
I did.
Nope.
No?
Nope. I think motion controls suck. That's why. Was I talking about motion controls? No. I was talking about using my thumbs in a punching motion. I really just want to punch the touch screen. I mean, if I could just punch the touch screen with my whole fist.
Wii Punch Out is hard as hell with motion controls, but it's also really satisfying. Just for physical exertion, it's satisfying, but I couldn't get anywhere on it.
I wouldn't want touch screen controls with a 3D game, though. I don't think I would actually play it like that, but a lot of people would. And I'm just saying, like, that would be a good fit, I would think. Like, just Punch Out, 3DS Punch Out, done, like sold, trillion copies.
Yep.
I would think, but
yeah,
It's made for that.
You can buy the NES on the virtual console for like $4 or $5, and it's awesome.
Yeah, so that's cool. I'll just do some rest of my games. Justin can anchor the shit. So, I've also been playing Dishonored.
Yay!
That's a cool game.
How is that?
Yay!
It's good.
It's awesome.
It's really good. Thief meets BioShock Infinite and City 17's aesthetic. But Thief implies that you're just constantly sneaking around. And if you, in this game, you can also just like shoot people in the face and stab them in the face.
And that's what you're doing?
No, not necessarily. Okay. I think this is one of the best games of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And, I enjoy it every minute of it. It's got a cool, really, really cool backdrop. Like, the story and the world and everything is very interesting. And it's deep, I don't say that about a lot of games.
I expect that to fall flat.
Is it very
flat.
Steampunky?
Yeah. It's steampunk. You know, that's where like you know that BioShock Infinite kind of thing comes in.
It also feels rooted in history, even though I know it's not.
Right. It's all like fictional setting, but they've created this world that is just. It's gorgeous. It's deep. There's a whole bunch of things that in the story that are hinted at that you never see, and I like that kind of stuff. It makes you feel like there is this like they crafted like somebody thought about all these details that won't ever show up, you know, in the actual game. You know what I mean? Like, right. But your brain will go there.
I love that. I love that shit. Like, when it's in books and movies.
Right.
Because I always wanted that job.
Right. Yeah. Like you
backstory
know,
guy,
there's something that maybe no one will see, maybe like one person will figure it out, but it's like questions that somebody could ask, and I feel like the writers of the game, they've got answers for them, even if they're not presented in the game. Like you know that in their heads, they're like, yeah, this guy, you know, this is how this guy came to power, and it was because of this and that and whatever. So, but the gameplay itself, like it plays out, it is open world. But it plays out in missions, so each you're never really at any point are you just free roaming just for the sake of free roaming. You always have a goal. You're always like it's basically so you're on a mission to like assassinate some people. You're an assassin.
How many of the overarching missions have you done?
I don't know, like maybe like four or five. Or
really?
So.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to avoid spoilers here, but you're a guy who at the beginning of the game is a very important figure in this world, or in this particular city state. What is she, a queen or something, or a
I forget, empress, something.
Empress, yeah. Who is in charge of this land? And everybody loves her, and everything's good. And some things go south at the beginning of the game that makes you have to go underground. And from there, it's like, okay, now you and a small band of people are trying to take back the government, basically. So in order to do that, like, you're like a super badass. You were like head of security, pretty much. And now it's like, okay, now you get to do... You get to put these skills to use. It's like fucking Liam Neeson in Taken.
Steampunk Jack Bauer.
Yeah. It's like you fucked with the wrong dude. Like, I'm going to kill every motherfucker that I run into. And so.
Well, you play it differently, right, Justin?
Oh, yeah. I'm thief in it.
Yeah.
Stealthy guy.
And okay, so in this game, it's sort of like. I almost want to compare it to Skyrim and the freedom you have on a mission. You're like, you have a goal. How do you get there? How do you accomplish it? And it's like, well, I can be like a badass, go guns blazing. I can be sneaky or anywhere in between. So you say you're on a mission and you're like, I got to go kill these two guys, and they're in a hotel and it's on the other side of the city. So from your base, which you start at the beginning of every mission, you go across the city and to get there. And along the way, there's guards that are bad dudes. There's zombies that are bad. And there's never just one way to get to your objective. And there's never just one way to complete your objective. So there is a mechanic in the game that makes this game completely different than any other one of these. But besides maybe Arkham Asylum and Arkham City. There's no other game that has, I think, a mechanic like this. Did you remember Batman's grappling hook, and he could use it on gargoyles, right? And that was how, like, you're in a, you kind of, it's like a, it's a combat puzzle, you know, where you're trying to like, how do I take out these 12 guys? I can't take them out in open combat. You know, I'm not a, it's yeah, like I'm not a cog it a soldier.
Bit, it is a little bit like you get to your area and yeah. plan your attack.
Yeah, except in this game, you have this ability called Blink, which as soon as you get points to put into your abilities, because you can spec however you want, put them in Blink. I can't imagine somebody playing without Blink. But this allows you to do a short-range teleport anywhere, in any direction, vertical, whatever. And there's a ton of verticality in every single one of these levels. Everywhere you go, there's a ledge, there's a roof, whatever, a fire escape, something you can climb on. And in the middle of combat, you can be stab a guy in the throat, look up at a ledge, and voom, and you can teleport there. And you can grab onto any ledge in the game and pull yourself up. So your teleport doesn't have to reach all the way to a roof. It just has to reach the ledge, the gutter, so you can pull yourself up, right? It can play. You can have a combat sequence. You're like watching guys' patterns, you know, like Metal Gear Solid or something. And they're like, okay, I'm going to go down there. I'm going to stab this guy. And then I'm going to teleport behind that guy and then take him out. And then I'm going to use a crossbow to shoot this other guy. And so you can like do all this stuff. And then you execute. And if things go wrong, you're not completely fucked. Like, guys have guns or they have swords or whatever, but you get hand-to-hand combat. You can parry with your sword and then, like, stab the other guy. You can pull out a gun and shoot someone, like an actual pistol, like, and just shoot him in the face. Like, they're done. You can try to escape. You can slow down time. There's all these different abilities that let you always adapt to the situation. And you have to have the reflexes, and, you know, your brain's got to get into that zone, but it is thrilling every time, and it's okay when stuff goes wrong. Yeah, it's not like helpless. Oh, reload the game, like you're never hitting reload, like you don't have to. You can always a way out.
And
like I said, like besides Batman, I can't think of a game that's combat puzzles play out the same way with that same, and this has more variety than that, like a lot more.
But
that same kind of thing where you're like, oh, things are getting bad and I'm gonna zip out of here. You can do the same shit. And
I guess each mission kind of feels like the overworld in Arkham City, honestly. Like, okay, Arkham City is obviously bigger, but it's you never feel contained. Well, I mean, I'm saying this, I'm through two missions, so I don't know how it gets in the later game. But it was really interesting just to know how much was actually going on in these, you know, this square mile that you have to work with or whatever it is. And it feels completely different than Assassin's Creed, which I kept expecting to make comparisons to that. And I think your Arkham City comparison's pretty right on. And then the depth of a BioShock universe, that feel hit me right out of the gate. And then the gameplay of Thief a little bit too. But the thing that I'm struggling with playing stealth is that the, like, action deaths, the gory deaths, like when you actually take the gun out or you stab dudes.
Yeah.
Those are really, really satisfying. And
I'm just
putting dudes to sleep and drag them to a dark corner.
You know what? And I do that sometimes. And you don't want to. There's a downside to just killing everyone instead of knocking them unconscious. Because if you kill them, then it brings rats. And then this city, it's basically...
it's in the middle of the plague, basically.
Yeah, picture like the Black Plague, but everyone that gets infected, they die and then turn into a zombie. And that's basically what's going on. So the more dead bodies there are, the more rats you draw. And eventually you can get like enough rats that they actually swarm and people, and they will kill them, attack them. And they'll
attack you.
They'll attack a dead body even and eat all the skin off their bones. Like, they'll reduce them to nothing. They'll eat everything off of them. It's really gross to watch.
But if you've got the single rats, you can use the possession ability.
You can possess things. Yeah, your guy basically has magic, which is explained in the game.
And then the people,
in a pretty cool way.
And if you use it in front of people, they freak out. And I like that.
Yep, that's pretty neat.
And Susan Sarandon's in the game.
And Carrie Fisher. And a whole bunch of other people.
Dude from Mad Men. And
Brad Dourif.
Chick from Game of Thrones, the queen.
Yep. I love it. It's so good. Dishonored is fantastic.
It was everything I didn't want to get my hopes up for.
Yep. Yep.
I was like, there's no way. It's a new franchise. Something's got to be.
I mean, I liked Dark Messiah of Might and Magic. I liked Arx Fatalis. A lot of people did not play those games. And I just, like, I can't, these guys just are, they made a game way above their normal standard, maybe, you know? I hate saying that because it sounds insulting probably, but as much as I liked those games for what they were, like, they weren't, like, blockbusters. And to me, this stands up with anything else that's come out this year or even, like, in recent times. Like, this is just a great game.
Yeah,
through and through. It's polished. Everything about it seems, like, AAA top-notch.
I mean, I'm not ready to, like, cast my award yet, but I'm really anxious to have the conversation around this game and start really actively start comparing it to
yeah,
experiences.
Absolutely,
year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, highly recommend playing that if you haven't. Let's see. I played Most Wanted last night a whole bunch. Need for Speed Most Wanted. The latest Need for Speed game.
That?
This is Criterion, who did did they do Hot Pursuit as well?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
So they did Hot Pursuit, but probably our favorite Criterion game is Burnout Paradise at this table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of Burnout Paradise. I know a lot of people were, and this from the get go looked like Burnout Paradise with real cars, and I'm very happy to say that is exactly how it plays. This is it's got a single player component to it. If you're playing it for single player, you're probably doing it wrong. The multiplayer is where it's at. That's where the fun's at. This is a gigantic world. I feel like it's big. I know they've said it's bigger than the Burnout Paradise map. And it feels it to me. It's got the, like, big countryside. It's got the city areas. It's got docks. You know, it's got all those different kind of zones. But the addition of real cars is awesome. And I'm gonna compare it to Paradise because to me that was the reason I got it. Like, I was wanting more of that. There are different kinds as far as, like, the activities you do in the game. I mean, you can just drive around the world just as much as you want. Single player, multiplayer, whatever. You can just, like, go. Just go drive. Other cars, you know, populating the world and whatnot. You can just go crash into shit or drive fast and whatever. And it's fun. The takedowns are just like a Burnout game. You know, it goes into that little kind of half speed, third person camera thing where you see your car tumbling and whatnot. And then you respawn immediately, you know, like after that. So you lose a few seconds in a race by crashing. So you don't want to crash in a race usually, but it's not like the end of the world. You don't go back to a garage or you don't drop out of a race. You just, like, reset your car. You know, this game through and through, the design decisions are all made to just make the game fun. And it doesn't worry so much about any sort of, like, realistic, you know, anything.
So as someone that primarily played Burnout Paradise single player, what's the hook in multiplayer?
So, well, let me say this about single player. It's got the same kinds of activities as the multiplayer, where it's like you get races. There's times where you're running from the cops. There are, you're trying to make big jumps. The world feels like Burnout Paradise. Like, there's just tons of places to go that have, like, a little secret. Like, you can go down an alley and there's a big ramp through a billboard that, you crash through to get extra points, that kind of thing. It measures your distances. You know, as you drive through those spots, it shows, like, your previous bests, you know, that kind of stuff. Tons of data being tracked about everything you do in the world. And it compares those to your friends using the auto log stuff that we've come to know from EA. But in the single player, you've basically have this, there's no story to speak of, but there's, like, a progress. Like, there's a list of 10 cars that are the most wanted cars in this city. And it's, they're progressively, like, better drivers and whatnot. And they're most wanted by the cops. And as you get, like, more experience points, basically, there's, like, speed points, I think they call them. As you get more of those, which you accrue by just doing cool stuff and winning races, you get to these different, like, kind of milestones, and each milestone on the 10 list is like you get to take that guy on and try to take him down, and if you do, you move up the list, and you're yourself, like, you try to get number one. But you could just do that and be like, oh, I beat the game once I got to number one, but you'd be missing out on the multiplayer stuff, which is it just like in Burnout Paradise, you jump into multiplayer by use the D-pad to go to that's your menu. And you can do it while you're in the game. It doesn't like pause anything. And you bring that up and from there you can change cars, you can tweak your car, like you can do different like upgrades for each car that you unlock. And you change your tires, you can add nitrous, you can change your, you know, the chassis weight and stuff like that. It's pretty cool unlocking that stuff. It makes a difference. And then there's multiplayer, and you can just join a random game with a bunch of other dudes, or you can join your friends. And with your friends, then you can make it a public game, and other people can just jump into that. So you have a combination of both. Now, you're in an open world, and you're driving around together. You see the other guys on the mini-map. You see the little arrows, and you just can, you know, play a little bit of cat and mouse and chase each other and try to take each other down and that kind of stuff, and that's fun. But then it's got these multiplayer events, and just like Burnout Paradise, it's all very much the same. And it'll say, okay, if this is a race or this is a stunt challenge or whatever, and here's where it is on the map. Everyone go there. This is the meetup spot. So everyone drives there, and you get experience points to be the first one there.
Oh, nice.
So it's like a race.
So you're racing to get there.
Yeah, it's just an open world race to get to this spot.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, that's really fun. And
well, I think that helps, like, the issue that a lot of people had in Paradise is, like, waiting for that person, that last person to get there and start the event.
And you know what?
Is that an issue this time?
No, because it'll actually, once somebody gets there, a little timer starts. And at the end of the timer, it just warps everyone else there.
Oh, cool.
So it's like you don't have to wait, you know, forever. Perfect. If somebody feels like dicking off, like
it's
they
like,
it
like
ignores
they've
them eventually.
A different racing game before and have learned from
historic
problems.
Yeah, and it works well. And you know, those those multiplayer races, they're really fun, and they're some of them are pretty long, you know, and they're ones that'll take you all around the city. And then there are short events, or there's like just stunt events. There's this place, it's called like something. Oh shit, I don't remember the name. Something with an H, something Park. It's got this. It's got these weird shaped art installations that are basically ramps, like just are these arches that are smooth on both sides. You could just ramp up, and then there's these like platforms above, and this event was like you just got to jump across these little things and. You know, it was a stunt thing, and you had to get in the right spot, get enough speed to make these jumps. And in the process, I'm playing on the PC, and there's like 12 guys in this game. And it's a lot of cars for this event, and people are actually not just actively trying to ruin everyone else's experience, but people are getting in the way sometimes, and it's like, we're driving side by side, there's only room for one car on this ramp, you know, somebody's got to move. And you just end up, you know, in some real crazy moments of the wrecks can be pretty spectacular, and I found myself just laughing out loud constantly playing the multiplayer, just obnoxiously loud laughter, you know, just bursting out at the ridiculousness of those multiplayer shenanigans, and that's what I enjoyed so much about Burnout Paradise. It was them, and I only ever played that multiplayer, and I was getting that.
I feel so much better.
Constantly and most wanted, and I gotta say the addition of the real cars is really nice.
Yeah,
and the progression at which you unlock them, like you start out the game, you've got a 911, which is awesome. They don't start you on some piece of shit. I love that. It's like here's a nice fucking car, and. The way you unlock them, there's two ways to do it. It unlocks across like both modes, I think. I'm pretty sure about that. In single player, as you're just free driving around, you run into cars parked on the side of the road that'll be of a car that you can unlock, and you'll actually see like the manufacturer's logo hovering above the car. All you got to do is drive semi near it. And it unlocks for you to change into with your quick menu later on. But right at that moment, you can drive up next to it, hit Y, and boom, you swap into it. And those are called jackspots, which is like the dirtiest fucking thing. Every time the game brings it up, it's like, go to the jackspot. Like, oh, you found a new jackspot. Like, dude, this is so fucking dirty. I felt like I was answering Craigslist ads. Like every time I found a new car. I drove around for probably 20 minutes in single player last night, and I must have unlocked 20 cars. Just like they're all over the place. It seems like there's a shit ton. I mean, maybe I found a majority of them. I don't know. I don't know how many cars are in the game.
I am that good.
I didn't read the bullet points. No, I'm just saying. There aren't that many.
Sure.
But it feels like there's a shit ton of cars, and each one of those, like as you do races with them, and then you upgrade. You upgrade the cars. But in multiplayer, when you do the multiplayer events, you get cars for doing that as well. So, I mean, I was driving around a couple different Porsches. I had two different Lambos. I had Ford Focus, a Ford GT, Chevy Camaro, Corvettes. There were like,
how long did you say you played and got all these cars?
I mean, I played like in like 20 minutes in single player. I probably unlocked the majority of those cars, but I also unlocked a bunch in multiplayer as well that I think I also saw in single player, but, after the first multiplayer event I did, or session, I might have done like two events in a row, but I was actually trying to quit the game because I was getting yelled at to come downstairs for dinner. And we finished the race, and I couldn't quit out until the game was done displaying all the things that I'd unlocked. And it went on and on. It named like 10 fucking cars. It said like all these different kinds of like features, all this shit. And I'm like, oh my God, stop, you know? So it throws a lot of content at you like real early on. It doesn't try to limit you. It doesn't trickle the stuff in. You just like, the game is just really all about just like, having a good time. And I appreciate that because my time is limited. Then I have a lot of games to play. Like when I fire a game up, if I'm not having a whole bunch of fun right away, I might just play one of those other 100 games I've got at my fingertips. So, I've really enjoyed my time so far with it.
Cool. Yeah, I've been just reading all the, single player is not so hot, and I was like, well, I'm still not the best at just randomly playing multiplayer, and but it sounds like I enjoy this even with strangers for quite some time.
Yeah.
And then hopefully that's long enough to convince some people to jump on with me.
Yeah, and there were no shortage of people playing on the PC. I want to mention another game real quick. On the 3DS, on the eShop, I purchased Liberation Maiden, which was part of the Guilda 1 compilation in Japan.
Was that the Suda 51 game?
Yeah, that's a level 5 Suda 51. Kind of Panzer Dragoon-ish. Shooter type game. I actually thought this was just like a 3D shmup, but it's not. It plays more like
like the
Panzer Dragoon.
President of Japan, right?
Yeah, you know what? It's got some real Metal Wolf Chaos undertones going on here. Immediately, this is it was like $7. Said Suda 51, it said level 5, and it said shooter, and I, of course, I bought this. So when I fire this thing up, there is a really nice looking anime intro, like really well done. And, but it's there, you're this, young, like, I don't know, a young adult woman who is obviously, is super attractive. She, the world is under siege by some force of aliens. I don't know.
Alien Godzilla.
Things, the Baidu Empire, I don't know. And the country's or the world's parliament, I guess, gets together, votes on emergency action, and then votes this character, this young adult woman, as to get and gives her executive powers. She's standing in what looks like a session of Congress, like basically in the center, like at the podium. And they display the votes. It's like 247 to 200. As soon as the vote's completed and the guy announces that this motion passes, lights hit her, and like this, the fucking the ground opens up, and this gigantic fucking robot suit comes up out of the middle of this thing, and she gets in it, and then flies off to fight the fucking bad guys. In this like Zone of Enders Jehudi looking thing. I mean, what the this is immediately it's amazing. and it's like she flies off in the air and you get a little in this video you kind of see a display of basically what's about to happen in the action and there's an obligatory butt shot. It's like, oh, it's got to let you know that she's got a real nice butt.
Got hot butt, Mr. Yeah, hot butts. President.
Yeah. And but the gameplay itself is it's a third person it's sometimes it's almost kind of top down but mostly like you know from over the shoulder but or like from behind and a little bit farther away a Panzer Dragoon style kind of shooter. You have control over your character in this full like 3D world on a 2D plane though. And but as you fly around, you use the stylus to highlight enemies. Kid Icarus, I guess, would be maybe a pretty good, you know, that would also be a good parallel as far as like how you're like, you know, you're just basically selecting the shit and you're tapping and you're shooting stuff. It feels pretty natural. I didn't have any problem using the stylus and because you don't have to do anything else on the right side of the controls, but yeah, it's fun enough, you know, and it's so crazy, like over the top. It's like, it looks really good. The 3D stuff is neat. I found it a little bit difficult to hold. I struggled to find.
Stand. You wish you had the stand.
Well, I actually kinda, but I mean, I wouldn't play this with a stand. It's not how I use my 3DS, but
you're a man.
Because I play when I poop.
Nothing to set it on.
You know, exactly. So I could bring a TV tray into the bathroom, I guess. But I don't know. Justin might feel weird about that because we use them for Tuesday nights. It's pretty fun. But it's ridiculous. If anything, watch like the trailer on the eShop and just see this crazy.
Yeah, you get a lot of the intro anime.
Oh my god, it's ridiculous. But I'm looking forward to some of these other games from the Guilda 1 stuff because they're gonna put them all out on the eShop, I guess, or I hope. So is that true, Cole?
Yeah.
So is it Suda or Grasshopper or is it Grasshopper? Like
this is Suda 51 and Level 5 or Level 5 published. I don't.
All right.
That's what it's. I saw Level 55 or Level 5, and then I saw Suda 51. Those are the two names they display, and that's what they say. And in the trailer, Suda introduces the game. Excuse me. Suda introduces the video.
All right.
Like it's him sitting there, like looking at the camera, just like. Letting you know, like, what, you know, what's up.
What the thought process was behind it.
Well, pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much what I've been playing some other stuff, but that's pretty much it. Justin, you want to get into your stuff?
Well, I'm surprised, even though I understand being distracted by Liberation Maiden, and that you'd start to even head down that route of playing random weird Japanese game without picking up Code of Princess, because how am I the only one of the three of us that owns this game?
Because it's $40. Because it's $40. It's not that it's almost a full price game for me. For it's like what I pay for normal, you know, games on the PC or whatever. And that, like, we haven't talked about it. That's why. Sell me on it now. Tell me why I should spend $40 on Code of Princess.
Because I haven't played anything like it as far as the an RPG brawler, and I honestly didn't know what that combination would mean. I actually expected, like, you know, you're leveling up and playing Final Fight type levels, and so each mission is, it's not really continuous levels. It's just basically a stage with a way full of enemies, lots of story, lots of anime style characters, and reminded me of almost Disgaea's presentation, the way they do story, like story modes and the character art, and definitely looks like an Atlus published game, something they pick up. The princess is actually more naked than even the box art leads on. so that's kind of weird. I was happy to find out I can switch characters almost immediately, and I promptly did that because you run across an Aladdin type character that has a different weaponry and that kind of thing. So anyway, so isolated wave battles, like, right, I'm only like an hour into it, so it's only like two or three waves per stage. The stages aren't that big, but the graphics are pretty nice. I've been playing it with 3D turned on. You've basically got, you know, it's got the 2D presentation, but you've got three planes that you can jump between, and so there'll be the enemies also jump between them, so you could
like Mutant Muds kind of, or like more not, like Final
not,
Fight where
not
you're
to, not yeah not to that extent like not it's not playing off the depth that to that degree. It's very subtle changes between the different
X axis movement or
yes what, so would that, you're moving yeah. you're moving X and Y when you're battling, but you can jump back and
or
forth
Z. Yeah, that would be Z. Yeah,
but it's not like you're not, you know, way zoomed in. It's a subtle difference between the three.
I guess what I'm asking is it like Final Fight where you can move a little bit up and down, but then you're like actually jumping to another area, is what you're saying?
No, I mean it looks like a Final Fight type of stage,
uh-huh.
but you're like literally only moving in a 2D plane.
So they're lanes.
Yes, lanes.
Ah,
would be.
Okay.
I think they actually call them lanes in the digital instruction manual, but
okay.
But you can use that for strategy, like to jump around guys or to evade people, and so
is it because they're like fighting game controls?
Yes, yes.
That's why.
Which is, it is a very combo heavy game. It's memorize this combination of moves, and then you know you level up in between stages and boost up your magic power and unlock new combos and new abilities. And there are four or five main characters for the story mode, but every time you encounter a new enemy, you can use them in the arcade mode. So there's like 100 characters in this game, if not more, and so there's just a lot of depth and kind of replayability if you like the battle system. And the more I get into it, the more I like it. I was kind of intimidated by it at first because it just felt like I was button mashing, but once you start digging in and finding some of those combos and starting controlling the fight, it's pretty cool. And
so it's not that repetitive.
It breaks it up.
That's
because it's it, the depth breaks it up, but you can, you know, I can see getting into, you have these three combos that you always use that probably dominate most of the time, but at the same time, I haven't got deep enough into it to know what are they going to do to counter that as far as like using more powerful magic-based enemies and things to kind of break up your strategy there.
Sounds cool.
Without getting mad at me, have you seen the multiplayer stuff? Like, what's the co-op look like?
No.
You know, what kind of options do we have?
I'm not sure. I haven't messed with that stuff yet.
When I get the game,
I'm assuming we can jump into our games, but I don't know if it's. I think it's online.
It's not like a separate multiplayer mode.
No. I mean, I'm guessing the arcade mode probably has that, but it's basically you probably jump in on the same team, if I had to guess, because. Because in story mode, when I'm playing by myself, you go into every cutscene and you have the four people that you run around with, and then they just vanish for the mission, or they're fighting beside you, and I think...
All right, cool. Yeah, so, that sounds fun.
But it's just...
It's got to have online, though, or when the hell are we going to play?
Right. Well, I don't know. We can Street Pass now. We might have better luck.
Yeah, that's true. But we don't have access to a capture kit, so it's not like we can show it to people. So we have to play it for fun, and we don't do that a whole lot.
No, we did. I'll get to that in a minute. But one last nod to Dakota Princess. Like, I haven't played anything like it, and it, because of the mission structure, it's very handheld friendly. Like, because these missions don't take, you know, they take 2 to 5 minutes a piece, and then you jump into the next one, and then you can always go back and replay missions to get higher scores or play them with different characters. Because, you know, like the princess. Herself like has the giant broadsword, but this Aladdin type character is more of the daggers and relies on speed. So there's variety, and there's like a voodoo princess that she's like half zombie, and she's actually pretty funny and really weird. So it has more magic stuff. So let's see. Otherwise, moving off of the handhelds. So I've had a lot of trouble focusing on what games to play. Like I blew through Darksiders 2 and finished that with the idea of I need to pick my next game because there's just so many coming out, but I need to focus and want to be satisfied with the games that I finished. And I, after trying to make Dishonored that game, it coming out so close to XCOM, I was bouncing back and forth between the games, and then I've really struggled to, well, now do I try to finish up Dishonored before Assassin's Creed 3 and Need for Speed come out? Like, what really is the game I want to focus on? Because then Halo 4 is coming out, and then the year's over. And so in that time, I've actually had a lot of moments where I'm also figuring out that now every time I'm playing a game, when Lily, my girlfriend's 4-year-old, is awake and out and about, she likes to watch me play, and she wants to play alongside of me. And with recent releases, there aren't very many that I can play in front of her. I had the like Borderlands 2 and Dishonored. I'm not going to play those in front of her. And but she also has her handful of games that she likes, and I'll pull up my game library and just scroll through them, and she always picks the same ones, but finally picked something different. And I just like to kind of recap these quick little stories with her, because she wanted me to play Alien Hominid, which I hadn't played in the longest time. And so I'm booting this up, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure there's blood in this game. And yeah, sure enough, like when you do like the hand-to-hand combat with the agents, like you cut them in half and they're like, you shoot them and they're gargling blood. So I quickly hit pause, and yes, thank you, the Behemoth, for putting a gore option on this. So I was able to turn the gore off, and she thought the alien was the cutest thing in the world and didn't understand why are they trying to hurt him. And then like, well, is he the bad guy? I was like, no, he's definitely the good guy. And so we played that for a while. Then scrolling through my list, and she, once again, she, anytime she sees the Maw, we have to play the Maw. And I beat the Maw a long time ago. This was like the first big game from Twisted Pixel on XBLA. And so it's a 3D action game, very basic platform, a very basic game in general. You just have your little alien creature that likes to eat everything, and he gradually gets larger and larger and larger and larger. But it's after you beat the game, you can go back to any mission. So every time that we have played, I have just gone on the next mission. And so we beat the game this last night. And at the end of this game,
and she'll sit there and watch you. Like, she loves every time. Like
I have, so I bought a little 10-inch, 12-inch stuffed Maw at PAX a while back, and she'll bring him out to play with us. She loves the Maw, and all he's doing is just eating everything, and she's always cheering him on. And at the end of this game,
she call him Maw. Like how's it?
Yeah, it's the Maw. She knows the Maw.
That's awesome.
And at the end of this game, he like basically becomes the size of a planet. And I mean, I keep thinking, like, when is she going to think that he's like evil? Because he's just a giant dude with sharp teeth eating everything, eats the earth. Like, it's a big deal, but she's still, we beat them all, so that was a big moment. And then we played Miss Explosion Man, because that's pink and that stands out in the menu. And she could not figure out, I don't know if you've played Explosion Man as well. Like while the characters just run around, they're like singing or making like pop culture references, and so she's like saying, "What a man, what a man, what a mighty good man." I'm just a girl, like all these little random things, and then Lily's like, well, "Why does she keep saying that stuff?" And I could never really come up a good answer for her, but that's one of those games that we play the first few levels, and she's like, wow, you're really good. You play this game really well. And I started playing some of the later levels, and that game is frustrating. And it just does not have the tightest controls as far as some of the platforming that it requires. And by the end of that game, we had to stop because I'm not good enough at that game, and she was getting frustrated. So that was my gaming with a 4-year-old, because I couldn't decide what games to play, and the ones that I wanted to play, I could not play in front of her. And then the other thing has kind of been interjected into this this fall that I haven't had before, is that I'm playing the online Madden League. And we've got three of us from the site with another buddy, and I just kind of wanted to...
Wait, you're in a league?
In an online...
Are you playing in the league?
Yes, we're all playing.
Because I keep seeing people on Twitter bitching at you for not playing your games.
Yeah, talking shit.
Yeah.
So... learned that we should have set some rules. of like a one game a week expectation, because anything more than that, like I just changed jobs about a month ago, and my game time in the evenings is a little bit different than it was. And you know, when I have some game time, I don't necessarily want to sit down and dedicate 90 minutes to play a game of Madden every time. And so I feel kind of bad letting those guys down, but they're not letting me give up. So we're like 8 games into the season, so that's 12 games total with the preseason. And you know, I'm getting really frustrated with Madden being Madden. Like, it's just really cheap there's way too many interceptions in this game. I made this awesome, I have the Seahawks, and I made this awesome trade to get Matt Ryan as my quarterback. And apparently Matt Ryan is the worst quarterback in the league, according to the stats. And I'm like, I get really frustrated with, like, I appreciate that, you know, it's a sim sports game, but there are things that I am trying to do that it won't let me do. Like, I'm trying to lead the receiver, and it's not doing that, so it gets intercepted. And I'm like, Matt Ryan would not make that mistake. I know what I'm trying to do, but you're not giving me any feedback other than turnover to say what I'm doing or right or wrong. And that's kind of been my ultimate issue with the game, is like, it's just, it wants to give the presentation of a real football game, but like, give me some options. Give me some feedback as to why do I suck? Because, so I'm a
what's your record?
What, 5-2-ish?
That's not bad.
Not bad, but I'm playing a lot of tight games. I've won 2 overtime games, blew one game at the end of the regulation, and I had 1 blowout that I won. But so after every game, you see like the weekly recap that highlights all the games that our guys have played. And Brandon and I are about the same. We struggle each game. The other two guys are winning like 62-3. And it just it really sucks the motivation out of you to know that, like, so ultimately
you haven't played head to head with anyone yet.
No, there is, looking at the teams that we've chosen, there will be 1 head to head game, and then we might meet in the Super Bowl. There's 2 of us in each conference, so I keep thinking ultimately we're leading up to this inevitable beatdown, and that also affects my motivation. But
seems like you should have done, you know, at least same conference or something. I don't know.
I mean, I think I'd be more frustrated if I was playing against them. So,
unless you'd know if you need to quit now, versus like wait till the very end and then just get destroyed so bad you feel like you wasted the whole season.
I'm committed to playing through the season, but it's been interesting how that has affected my other gameplay during this crazy release season.
Sure.
So, any other questions about Madden?
Okay. No.
Although,
no,
okay.
Whatever,
every time I get frustrated with a game, though, I still have those moments where I just giggle at it because the physics engine goes wonky and dudes start tripping over each other and falling on their faces. And just in the most innocuous times, it's always like you're picking the play and some dude in the background of the huddle will just like fall over and knock a bunch of dudes over, or something ridiculous happening. That gets me through. It's just like my comic relief to, why the hell doesn't this play ever work? So, Matt Ryan apparently sucks.
We need to have a 2K football, like a Dreamcast 2K football.
2K5? Play 2K?
Yeah.
I still have it.
Yeah, original Xbox.
Yeah, I would play a season of that shit.
That'd be fun.
Maybe we'll do that do a game of that in a marathon, maybe.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Quick little round robin something.
Ooh.
And then, another nice little break. Josh and I played some Saints Row the Third.
Yes, we did.
Oh, shit.
This came up before Josh and I played on our live stream. I played that weekend I don't know what game I want to play. And I just didn't want to get deep into anything. And I was like, I just want to fuck around. And I've been playing Retro City Rampage. And I was like, fuck Retro City Rampage. I want to go play some real Saints Row. And I was like, that's why I have this game. Why haven't I gone back to it? And then finally, Josh and I got to play some co-op, and I hadn't played co-op in this game, and it was a ridiculously good time, and we made some really offensive characters, and I'm pretty proud of ourselves.
What were your characters?
About an hour in, we both got boobies. We were both dudes.
On a male character? Or?
Yeah.
Well, what, you were, what was his name? Fred McDonald?
Frank McDonald.
Ronald McDonald.
Oh my god, I can't even describe this fucking dude. I mean, he it's like Buddha with Ronald McDonald and Ken Korn Karn from pro wrestling from the
Jesus Christ.
Like, mix all those three together and you get my dude. And I had like I wasn't wearing did I have a G-string on or was I naked in the pants? Whatever. It was something. No, I can't
remember. Yeah, it is G-string.
G-string, yeah. And my guy was just constantly, his ass cheeks were just in her face. And then flip-flops and like a little tiny tank top with like a backpack that was like a, it was like a stuffed animal that was flopping around on my back. And it did looked way more ridiculous than it sounds even, I think. And then Justin's guy, his, and I originally had like a dude that looked like Ving Rhames or something, and Justin's guy looked like him, but ripped and tall. And then afterwards, he was like, he looked like Sean Young in Ace Ventura, if that rings a bell.
Yeah.
With a, but and with also a pencil stash.
Yeah.
So it was, he was a. It was part woman, part man.
Standard affair for Saints Row, I think.
But what was a good time. Name of your character, Justin?
We don't, you know,
actually name your dudes. We gave them names. Justin's character was apparently wasn't important enough to have his own name.
I was just excited about the pencil stash.
So. Yeah,
but
oh my god, we just played that for several hours and we're just obnoxious and it was fun. Just driving around being idiots and. We didn't even do missions half the time. It was most of the time we made our own fun.
But then we did jump into a mission and I didn't realize where Josh had left off.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a very definitive mission in the middle of this game where you basically go into a computer world and it is just the most bizarre level. And I was shocked that Josh hadn't seen it yet. And
toilets
and
blow up dolls and Tron.
You've never been in that level yet?
No, I just had stopped right before that, obviously, because that was my next mission. I don't play a lot of missions, or I'll be in someone else's game and we do their missions.
I just, okay.
But I almost always play that game multiplayer.
Mm. Well, I guess that makes sense.
But, yeah, we were just, yeah, we were
phenomenal.
We're ramping off shit.
What a great game. Crashing into shit.
Yeah.
Also,
that was fun.
We're unstoppable in tanks. Like, we took down the military.
So, was that you guys on the stream then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That was 3 hours of
check it out.
Saints Row, and we only ended because I think we were supposed to. I don't
really. Right.
So,
I was tired. I was still kind of sick, so we were playing online.
But I still, like, really curious to see where GTA 5 goes, because I just don't.
Which is now, it's coming out spring?
Yep. But this
2013?
It just seems like Saints Row is it, man. That's what I want of those games, and.
You know, it's a lot of people like the story in GTA.
Sure.
They take it very seriously.
Sure.
So a lot of people are going to enjoy that, and maybe it'll be fun. Maybe they'll do a good job with it. I'm disappointed it's on this cycle of systems.
Well, it has
though.
To be. I mean, they got to get one more out. But
do they? I mean, the new ones are going to be out. I don't know. Whatever. There was this part of me that said that thought like. Launch title. Like, that would have been fucking epic, you know?
Yeah, the way they work with their engines, though, I guess I thought they would, they're not going to rush that out to hit the launch window.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, but supposedly the new systems are pretty much just high-end PCs, you know, and I think it's going to be easier to make, you know, those cross-platform games next time around. I mean, they should be, you know, and all those rumors say that it is. So we know a lot of people have been working on next gen shit, and it's not unheard of that games will start development for a system and then they just kind of get pushed back so far that they just go, well, let's just put it out for the next one, and you know, maybe it doesn't take full advantage of the hardware, but there's enough in there to make it, you know. At the very least, like, well, we can have a high resolution and whatever. And I just thought that would have been kind of neat, maybe. But because there's that part of me that thinks, gosh, GTA would be the perfect kind of game to benefit from better hardware. To me, it's like better if just, you know what, if there was only one improvement, farther draw distance for cars and keep track of NPC cars longer. It's kind of hard to stalk someone when they drive like 30 feet in front of you and disappear. You know? This, I don't know. Whatever.
Poor Carl.
In the meantime, Saints Row is awesome.
Let's see. Oh, I forgot. Also on my list, I did play a little bit of Joe Danger 2, the movie.
What's that even like? I mean, I didn't play the first one.
It's not good. It feels much more on rails than the last one. I really enjoyed Joe Danger. I mean, even coming off of Trials, it had a very next gen Excitebike feel to it. And, you're basically only on the motorcycle in this one. And Joe Danger 2, he's in a bunch of different movies. You start off like in a mine cart and you're rushing down that level. And I think that started making it feel a little bit too like, you're constantly having to go one speed and you're not really doing stunts, and you can do stunts. You can do a bunch of flips and up your score. And, then you'd go to, a skiing level or with snowmobiles that you're outrunning an avalanche. And I don't know what it is. It was not near as fun or as loose as the first one. It was just much more streamlined, and, kind of disappointed in it. So that's,
sad face.
But I think that's downloadable and everything. And I think actually the PSN version accidentally got more content. Like they pushed the wrong, there was something around, like they pushed the wrong version live for XBLA. So I have to patch in like a bunch of new missions that were in the PSN version. So, be careful which one you get there. But, might wait for a sale or try out the demo to see if you like the new, especially new vehicles. But I think the bike was enough, and I would have taken this stuff as like a DLC for it rather than the focus of the game. So, and then finally, I've been trying to figure out, starting to really pare down my list of what games do I want to finish? And we've played a ton of indie games and platformers recently and have kind of like our initial impressions of them. And I was playing through Retro City Rampage and trying to think, do I really want to finish this? And I started looking through my list, and I was like, there are other games that I want to finish before this. And so I went back to They Bleed Pixels and played a number of levels on that, and still really, really like that game. And then I started playing, they announced this prior to launch. They have all these kind of different art styles to the game that are contributed by other designers, and they're bizarre as hell. Like, there's one that is like, I don't know what the tie-in to Serge Tankanian from System of a Down, but like it's playing like his music in the background, and so it just changes all the character art, but it's the same basic gameplay. And then there's this other one that is like something about unicorns, and it's very rainbow heavy and just bizarre as hell.
Weird.
You're still clawing the shit out of things and impaling them on fuzzy things rather than spikes. But I did start to struggle a little bit with, it has a very floaty jump system, and there gets to be points where there's a lot of platforms in the air that have enemies on it that you have to deftly land next to them to knock them off the platform, or they'll knock you off and you have to jump all the way back up. So some of the level designs started getting on my nerves there a little bit, but I still think the combat's really satisfying, and it's also satisfying when you do kind of solve a level and get through it.
So. Good game. I think it's pretty cool.
Good soundtrack.
Awesome soundtrack. I still listen to that sometimes off of my daily trip to band camp.
But I think that one will stand out for me as far as the deluge of indie platformers that are out there right now. So, yeah, other than that, been playing XCOM. We've talked plenty about XCOM. All of us are still alive. I've taken that tactic of naming all of my XCOM buddies, so I am careful not to kill anyone that doesn't mean anything, but I haven't.
I appreciate that.
I always wait for, like, when we get the nicknames, and I think Josh's nickname is Brick, and, I can't
remember. All right.
I am Longbow, I'm the sniper. So you're the heavy, I'm the sniper. Cole doesn't have a rank yet.
Yeah, you're the heavy for once.
And Ethan... Ethan is the Assault, which I think fits really well. I forget what his name is, his nickname is, though. But I've only killed no-name people. So that game is awesome, and I'm glad that I'm not experiencing my video game paralysis with it. It's just a matter of, I feel like I've already made up my mind of where this game stands for me, so I want to move on and play other stuff. So,
right.
What are you playing it on?
I actually got it on PC, but...
Oh, wow.
Playing with a controller?
But I'm playing with a controller. because it's fantastic with the controller. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit frustrating with the keyboard for whatever reason. So, I've also been hearing more things that it's buggy. Did you ever encounter?
Little things like, yes. So actually, yeah, sometimes not so little when you actually die or get wiped, but most of the time it's like, there'll be a spot where you can't, like, there's basically a grid for your movement of your dudes. There are times when you just can't select a certain spot. Like, your cursor is on the spot, but the game thinks you're trying to select the level below or above it, and there's no way to change. I mean, you try with the mouse wheel or up and down, like, it, and it just literally, you cannot select a spot. And that, there's been times that that's happened. And then also, there's like a weird thing sometimes with the, with like dudes spawning or appearing in the middle of, like, I'll have a wide open room and I got my guys all over it, and all of a sudden, like, a Mutant will appear in the middle of the room. Like, and it does the animation like he just gets discovered. I'm like, what the fuck is that? That's really weird. But, other than that, not anything like, you know, it's just a little bit of the pathfinding stuff, which that's patchable, and then weird spawn shit. It all just seems very patchable.
I think that would only get on my nerves if I was playing Iron Man mode, but because I'm saving so often.
Oh yeah, I'm
on my first playthrough.
F5, F9.
Yeah.
I'm playing it like like a gigantic pussy, and I'm okay with that. I don't care.
Me too.
I save it because the thing is, when my guys die, it's always from bullshit. It's always from one thing, because my tactics are sound. It's always this one thing, and it is a bullshit move. The game, whenever one of your dudes spots an enemy unit, they, in the middle of your turn stops, they get a free move, and then you finish your turn.
It's complete bullshit.
Like, it's the dumbest thing. Like, why would they do that? Like, it just seems silly. Well, it's got to be, I'm sure they play tested without that, and without it, they probably had people just like
running through the game.
Yeah, just like, finding it too easy.
I guess if I felt terrible
way to balance it.
And that it was up to random chance, like they didn't move, or they got the move, or you got to surprise them. But the fact that you never even get to surprise
them. You can't surprise them. There's literally no way to surprise the fucking enemies. And I think that's really stupid. Like, write better AI. But the thing is, I don't think before they appear on the screen, I don't think that the game is keeping track of the enemies at all. Every time you move into an area where there's fog of war, the game, I think, gives it a random chance of popping a dude there. And why I think that is because if you save and reload in the same area and do the same move like 5 times, you can get 5 different enemy spawns.
Hmm.
I mean, like, I have something like...
I haven't noticed that.
I've had, like, one of those bullshit moments. I'm like, I'm going to send my guy up to this door, and then he goes one step, boom, the enemies... They do a little animation, like, a little cutscene, where, like, oh, enemies are here. Then they move into the room, and my guy runs, past them and behind enemy lines, because I didn't get to stop and react. Like, what the fuck? So, and, I mean, it happens every single time.
Sound really sound.
Well, it's not like they do that often, but there's just times where, and so you do have to completely change the way you play because of this. Mm-hmm. But remember, there was a time where I was doing that, one of the situations happened, and I was like, no, I'm going to reload. And the guys weren't there. They were in another spot. And then I was like, what? I reloaded. They were in a different spot. Mm-hmm. In the same level, just reloaded the same game. Like, I don't think they're keeping track. These guys aren't, they're not keeping track of where these dudes are. They're just, like, randomly popping them in. That's why they have to have them have a free move. Because the guys weren't, like, positioning themselves tactically to begin with. Like, I think that's lazy. Really lazy. That's lazy programming. Lazy design.
Still.
Sid Meier taking naps. His office has a real comfy couch, I bet. Yeah, he's got a lazy boy and, like, a nice ottoman.
I also heard this wasn't, like, his primary game. Heard his team's working on something else. That this was the Civ Rev team.
He was there. He was in the office. He could have said something.
Says Firaxis. But I think that's pretty much it. Hopefully, I hunker down and actually get some serious game time with either Dishonored or Assassin's Creed or Need for Speed or Halo 4 or 3DS.
Yeah, it's a good time to be gaming right now. Yeah. we're all just like constantly fighting over, you know, what game to play next, and that's always a good problem to have.
Yeah, and I play games from 1986.
But you're still busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, really busy.
All right, Justin, you want to update us on what's going on with HorribleNight.com, the website?
The website. Let's see what has been going on. Continue to pump out the video content. Really excited about that. Ethan has been using his time wisely, I think, in Germany. So Brotabulous has had its second episode. And then he's continuing to pump out weekly videos. If you haven't checked these out on his Cheap and Dirty Gamer series, I told him that that's evolving to my favorite video series that he's doing because they're all so random. Like, they're just not connected at all. I think you'll see, like, a theme evolve to Brotabulous, but Cheap and Dirty Gamer, you don't know if you're going to get a review or if he's just going to start cursing you out or just, you know, insert Piano Cat. That's so.
Yeah.
So if you haven't, we post all these to YouTube/HorribleNightTV. So we are having at least weekly video content on that site. If not, I think we're having 2 to 3 videos a week on average lately, combined with what we record on our live streams on Twitch TV every Tuesday night. And the other guys have been streaming on the weekends, and I think you'll see more of that. As the weather changes here, we're inside playing games more. So we're really excited about the video content.
And look forward to more Adventures of Mr. Dave as well.
Wherever he can be created and fit in.
I got some plans for Mr. Dave on some of those some weeknights.
And then of course we've been talking about it for a little while. Announcement goes up on the site on Wednesday for our A Call to Gamers charity 24-hour video game marathon coming to Twitch TV on Saturday, November 17th. It'll run through Sunday morning, but it'll be us playing from our favorite game couch and playing an assortment of games and keeping you entertained for 24 hours or until... we'll keep you entertained.
Yeah,
I'm going to throw down a challenge to people.
What's that?
If anybody donates... If any single person donates $500 before the charity event, I will not show up.
I think I'll get that donation form up.
you should do it the other way. So you're coming?
But if they don't want him to be on the show to keep it more entertaining, he's open.
No, okay. So I thought you weren't coming, so I thought you were going to say, like, I'll show up if somebody
donates. He's threatening
to
be here unless we raise the money.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So we can't. One
bid, $500.
So we can expect you then.
Yeah, I will be there. I've already requested the time off.
All right. Awesome.
So
I will be there for the full, however long I can be there.
Good.
And then so that'll be.
We'll need you.
We'll be streaming live all day on Twitch TV from calltogamers.org. And then donations will be going once again to Child's Play Charity because they're awesome. And kids need games.
It's going to be fun.
Yep. Looking forward to it. So
I'm excited for, like, because the game selection, we haven't finalized it, but the stuff we talked about sounds awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm really pumped. Yeah. It's going to be a variety.
I'm just excited to hang out with some bros in Street Pass.
Yeah, I mean, last year we had a lot of players and a lot of games, but we didn't get to, like, interact with one another other than our horde mode, and that got kind of tense. So
laborious.
Yeah.
I think we'll be having some.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good time and a little smaller, a little tighter, maybe a little more interaction with folks online.
Yeah, that's the goal anyway.
So yeah, I'm really excited for it. I think it's gonna be a really good time.
We hope you hang out with us. That's all I got for HorribleNight.com updates.
Cool. All right, let's end this thing with some threesomes, guys. And if you don't mind, I'm going to kick this off with some porno. Is that okay with you guys?
Absolutely.
Cue the music.
Let's talk about Hulk dicks.
Like Incredible Hulk's dicks or...
Hulkamania.
No, let me tell you something, brother.
Yeah.
Plumb upon the biggest dick in the world, brother.
The fact of the matter is, brother,
I saw the Hulk Hogan sex tape.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
You watched the whole thing?
No.
About 30 seconds.
I didn't need to, if you know what I mean. I wish I hadn't seen it. And I don't just mean like...
You really like
I
that mean, bald spot and that
yeah.
tan ass?
Man. You know... It's the internet. I've been all over it. I've seen a lot of shit. I don't have a lot of hang-ups, you know. I mean, I don't seek shit out. It's not like I, you know, I'm not watching Two Girls, One Cup and stuff like that, right? But like when it's celebrities and like people like, you know, like everybody's seen like Pam and Tommy Lee and everybody's seen Paris Hilton and shit. And like anybody that says they haven't, they're either lying or they're the biggest prude you've ever met.
Can you blame these people?
I mean, I really wish I hadn't seen the Hulk Hogan thing. And the camera angle's bad, you know, and
production value's terrible.
Hulk looks like you'd expect a Hulk to look naked,
like a 60-year-old broken man. Look
yeah.
like.
Yeah, not you know what? Not it's not bad. I mean, you know, I'm sure better than most, but just the way he's like, you can hear him like talking and shit, and it's just so it's.
Does it's, he say brother?
It's awkward and sad. No. I don't think so. No. I would remember that. I would remember that. No, he doesn't. Nope. He does leg drop her though. Yeah. He gives her a lariat right as he finishes. No, it's just awkward, and it's like don't watch it. Just don't watch it.
Finally, a good public service announcement.
Hey, how about this? Don't record yourself having sex. It's going to get on the internet if you're a celebrity.
Especially, man, Hulk Hogan's already kind of gone. He's kind of gone downhill because of, you know, his weird family problems over the years.
And his Rent-A-Center commercials.
But, and that. And the pictures of him, like, oiling up his daughter's ass. Like, that is weird. Yeah. But that's like your childhood. Don't ruin it. Don't watch it. Because my childhood's done. Like it's done. Like I can't watch 80s wrestling anymore. I was
really worried.
My faith in America has been is shaken
because Josh has this habit of bringing up something terrible but making it sound great. I was worried that's where he was going to
no,
go with this.
No, not with this one. Watch it. Not with this one. And on a kind of a related note, I saw something else too. Did you know there's a bunch of like really graphic Skyrim mods out there? And I'm not just talking about the Nexus mods. These will never be on Steam Workshop, but there is a web, and I'm not even, I don't want to even say the name of the website.
Where were you hanging out? What were you doing?
It got linked to
the
me.
Deep
someone,
recesses
no,
of the internet.
Someone else linked me to this shit.
Is this related to you being sick for like 10 days straight?
Yeah. Yeah. It was bad. This was not like a fever dream either. I mean, this exists. There's a website, and I'm not going to name it, but it is a fucking cesspool of sex mods for all the, Gamebryo engine games. So you got like Fallout, Oblivion, and Skyrim. And I didn't believe, I couldn't believe when somebody, like, they said the name of the site, and I Googled it and stuff, but they had said, like, mentioned some of the mods you could get there. And I was like, no fucking way do they have that. I had to look it up just because it was like, no way. Oh my God. They have mods for Skyrim I can't even talk about some of these on the air. I mean, I would be just so embarrassed and it would be really offensive. Like, but think of like the worst possible like illegal things that you would never see videos of humans doing. And they fucking have mods to do it in Skyrim. I couldn't believe it. And the way these people were discussing it in these forums for these mods. No, like everyone is just like, yeah, that sounds awesome. They were just so pumped for these things. I mean, there was one mod that gave all the animals in the world rock hard dicks. And they were modeled after the real animals' penises.
Oh my God.
What in the hell is wrong with you? Like, I'm not, you know what? I'm not like a violent person or whatever. I mean, I'm not gonna, you know, like, let's all get along. But I think there's some people that should die. And it's these people that make these fucking mods. You know what? To each their own until you do this, some of this shit. I mean, some of it's just so bad. They have like rape mods for Skyrim with like gameplay mechanics that go like deeper than just like the act and the animations. Fucking worst stuff I've ever, like, I guess there's no way to shut this down. Cause like, it's for, you know, it's like free speech is the internet, but what in the hell? And there was worse than that. Like, oh my God. So like faith in humanity shaken.
So you downloaded them all and played them?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Not so.
Yeah. When I have two screens, so I had Hulk Hogan's sex tape on the other screen. I was dual screening that. God damn it. Just, oh my God. I had to share it with you guys because I need to talk about it with somebody. Like, somebody has to share my pain. But just awful. I mean awful. They have like torture dungeons for your house they'll install in the basement. Like, you know, Oh my God. You know, of course, like a million different nude mods, but that's like the tamest crap they've got there.
Now
awful.
I need that The More You Know chime with the graphic. Thanks,
also,
Josh.
Yeah. Also, I upgraded to Windows 8.
How's that going for you?
Unrelated.
Speaking of dark recesses of the internet.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I mean, there's a lot of really cool upgrades. The Metro UI, which they're not calling that anymore, but that's what we're going to call it because we don't give a shit. It's fine. I actually spend a decent amount of time in it or launching programs from it, and it doesn't bother me because the keyboard shortcuts are just fine. You can still just use the desktop like normal and it's no big deal. I mean, I've got it running behind me. It's just, everything's just like it was in 7. Yeah, it's just smoother, faster, boots quicker. Like the printer stuff was a little bit easier. There was like a lot of things. The task manager is way better. It's a huge fucking upgrade. Like that is, I mean, there are enough little things. Like I think most people should just go ahead and upgrade, especially if it's like a $40 upgrade. Or if you bought a computer since like June, it's only $15 on the Windows Upgrade Offer.com. So that's pretty cool, but. More importantly, I went into the store and saw in the game section, and I got...
The Windows store.
Yeah. And I got Pinball FX2 and Minesweeper.
Did you get the RPG Minesweeper? Yeah.
Yes, and I played it. And I don't want to put this in... I mean, this. I guess this could have been in my What Are You Playing? But it's Minesweeper, and it's less a game and more like an anti-productivity app. For most people, like that's how you always used it in Windows. That and Space Cadet Pinball, you know, and Ski Free. They took in Minesweeper now has an adventure mode that has like little, has like items you find and stuff. It's still, the mechanics are still
there's
Minesweeper,
loot.
But there's some like loot. And, it's just like a reason to progress through the bomb, you know, stuff. And, it's awesome. It's perfect and it's free. The other thing is Pinball FX2, it's cool, looks great, but it doesn't like, you don't, it has the same, like a bunch of the same tables available, but there's no, I thought because it's so closely integrated with your Xbox Live and, you know, Windows login and stuff, and it says Xbox everywhere, like I thought it was going to let me just use, play the tables that I already had on Xbox.
Oh.
That's not, I was wishful thinking. It was stupid of me to think that because no, of course not. They give you one free table, this Mars table, which is really neat that I hadn't seen.
If they hook those together though, that would...
Yeah, because I see there's like the Infinity Gauntlet table, and I'm going, ooh, but I'm not going to buy it twice. It's for the same fucking thing. And it doesn't even keep track of your scores across the two platforms. That's pretty stupid.
That sucks.
Other than that, the new music app, it ties in with the Xbox music stuff that just launched. But on Windows 8, all the streaming stuff is free. It's ad supported, so it's like, you know, Pandora or whatever, Spotify, you know, they'll play a little ad every once in a while. But it's got a smart DJ thing. It's, you know, again, like Pandora and Spotify. You just type in an artist and it makes a radio station, and it's got a cool full screen. It just looks good, you know, album art, you know, showing up on the screen and stuff, and there's like info about the artist, and that's awesome. Awesome. Like it's built in, it's free. Like, why wouldn't you use that? And you can also play your own music from inside the same app.
I think I'm waiting to upgrade till I get the new computer. So,
yeah, but it's good. It's fine. It's totally fine. Don't be scared. I will say this real quick. The Surface is awesome.
I want to
go play with one in the mall.
They get some apps on that. I get some nice app support.
Yeah, because that you can flip to desktop, you can use Office. Like, if you're missing those things, if you use, like, your tablet for work, mm-hmm. you should look at the Surface. Seriously. It's very interesting.
Cool.
Cole. Well,
who else are we sponsored by tonight, Cole?
Iced tea. And by iced tea, I mean the rapper, not the drink. I watched his movie, the documentary, The Art of Rap, this weekend, and basically takes a look at the history of rap music and the art behind making it. They don't talk about like how many girls and cars and houses they have. It's more about the craft of making a rap song and writing it and kind of the process that each rapper goes through and stuff like that. It's really good, really interesting. He talks to a bunch of different rappers from the East Coast he makes a little side trip to Michigan and then the West Coast. And I recommend it. Even if you're not a huge rap fan, it's really interesting to see what these guys do. And a lot of them freestyle in the documentary. And it's really good. And Eminem's interview is fantastic.
Some like an authentic side to it if it's Ice-T doing it versus, I don't know, like there's a lot of people that could have done that I wouldn't, you wouldn't take it seriously at all. And
yeah.
Huh.
Well, it's cool. And you kind of like it's basically him just having conversations with these guys and kind of sharing stories and each of their processes and like how they were influenced by each other. And it's really cool when Ice Cube and Ice-T sit down and talk and how they were influenced by each other and kind of grew up in the same area. So I definitely recommend it. You can get it through Netflix or, any other retailer, I guess. And there's a lot of buzz behind it for award season, I think.
Really? Cool.
Yeah. He was at Sundance and stuff and did well there. So
that's just weird.
Yeah. And then I watched last week when I was sick, I watched the CM Punk Best in the World documentary. CM Punk's a professional wrestler in the WWE. What?
It's off Netflix?
No, I actually rented it.
Oh, okay. Because they have so much wrestling shit on Netflix.
They do.
Now.
And it will be on there in like 3 months, but I couldn't wait. and it is the best WWE produced documentary that they've ever done. And it's really cool because it takes a lot of footage from his indie days and like I think it's IWA Mid-South, which was in Southern Indiana, Louisville area, and then going to Ring of Honor and then to WWE and kind of the trials and tribulations he had going through his life. And really interesting guy. And it's cool since he's the champ now, and a lot of good interviews from different wrestlers, and you can see how respected he is, even though he's a little weird. And Lacey, he's your favorite wrestler and you don't know it.
Right. I've heard that. SummerSlam's coming to Indy. Not SummerSlam.
Survivor Series.
Sorry.
Really?
Yeah. On the day after our charity marathon. So
yeah, he he has his own team, and then Mick Foley has a team. So they're facing off each other.
We won't be there.
Survivor Series. No, we won't. We will be sleeping.
Be cool if we could do that.
If Survivor Series sponsors our charity marathon, we will go to Survivor Series.
Maybe we can get a couple of wrestlers to come to this for the show, for the stream.
A lot of wrestlers who are gamers, I'm sure.
We have a connection.
Yeah.
We know a rep.
I guess in the special features of the Blu-ray or something, because I just rented it, so I just saw the documentary part, but on the Blu-ray there's a special feature of him and another wrestler playing Street Fighter. So they're into video games. So they should come by.
We could play WrestleFest. That should be out by then.
Yes. Right? Have we heard anything about that?
No, it's coming out. It's coming summer 2012.
No. Recently, it was somebody gave it a date or a frame.
Oh, really?
Time frame.
Every time
there was news about it, a little bit of news recently.
It's on the Steam coming soon tab all the time.
I don't know.
Okay. By the way, are you guys in Club Nintendo?
Yeah,
with your purchases and stuff, Super Punch Out is available for the Wii for 150 gold coins right now. Just let you know.
Oh, I already have it.
Yeah, I know you do, and it's also for the Wii. So who's going to play it there?
Right. Well, that's when I fire up my Wii. I'm playing Super Nintendo games.
Oh, absolutely!
That's my Super Nintendo console.
Yeah, and then finally, Tested.com had their charity podcast, which coincided with ours last year, unrelated, but we did it on the same weekend.
Yeah.
They did theirs last weekend, and I've been catching up on their podcasts and videos. And you know, it's good. They've had a lot of good guests. They talked to Bill Doran, the guy who does a bunch of props. He has his own prop shop called Punished Props. He does like the Mass Effect armor and a bunch of guns.
You guys
and,
got nice shit. They had him last year too, I think. For that I'm falling for something, but fucking awesome.
Yeah, his shit is fantastic. That was the latest one I've listened to. So I'm in like hour five and there's 24 hours of it. So I got a lot to go, but I recommend it. Any people who like tech or Mad Libs or props.
Did they do any Lego stuff this time?
Yeah, they do a mini bricked, but I haven't got to that point yet where the brick series is where
I watched them build the Death Star and the Super Star Destroyer. You know what? Those things were on sale. I sold on Slick Deals. That was like, I don't know, like $100 off normal for the Super Star Destroyer. Wow. It was close. Yeah,
they're like $300-$400.
Yeah, I think it's $400 and it was $300 or something like that. And, ooh, man. But like, where would I put it? I would need help building it.
In your office somewhere. But yeah, check it out. It's 24 hours of entertaining shit. And, yeah, no, I just really enjoy those guys. So,
yeah, that's cool dudes. Justin.
So I made we cut cable 5-6 months ago. Basically since then we've been living off of, for TV consumption and movie consumption, been living off of, you know, Hulu Plus and Netflix and
Amazon.
And things have been going well until, you know, after 2 to 3 years of heavy Netflix consumption, we've gotten caught up on all the shows that we care about. And now those new seasons are like, there's like 3 or 4 active shows that I really care about. And my options for streaming those to my television aren't so good. So I finally caved and I've just started doing season passes on Amazon. And it is a load off of my mind. And like, I have been intimidated by buying like full seasons of shows on Amazon when you buy the full package, but my cheat here is that, you know, I'm really only spending like $3 a week, $3 an episode, and it charges you per episode rather than like the bulk, you know, $40 for the whole season. So,
well, some of them you buy the whole season, it's actually pretty cheap. Mm-hmm. Like we just got caught up on Castle, and I bought all those off Amazon Prime or Amazon.
Yeah, some of the like streaming. Real older seasons are. Yeah,
it's like $20 for a whole season of like 26 episodes.
So like, I'm interested. Pretty damn good. I haven't done it yet, but I want to go through and do the math to see how much I'm spending on entertainment versus what I was
still
paying
cheaper
for cable.
Than cable. It's got to be cheaper than still.
And then it just raises my ire for, you know, Showtime and HBO for not giving me that option. I was like, I want to give you my money.
Well, you just need to find one person who has HBO,
you know,
and get their login.
Yeah, yeah.
Because HBO Go, you don't have to have it at your house to get it.
It's like, fucking good. It's
real good. Yeah.
We talked a lot about if you make it easy on me, I will give you the money.
Absolutely.
So, but it was, like I said, it's been a load off. Like, we've had a lot of issues with getting things to stream to our different devices. And now, you know, I've got it on our Amazon account and our 2 Rokus that we have in the house. We can watch them on either TV and at different times, and that's been working out really well. So, and I use Amazon because I've never gotten tied into the iTunes ecosystem. Otherwise, I would get an Apple TV and dive heavy into that. But Amazon's been my digital library of choice. So,
and the quality's really good.
Mm-hmm.
On the Xbox, how we watch it, sometimes there's a little bit of buffering.
Yeah.
We'll watch a couple episodes of something and no problems, and then we'll watch one and like 3 or 4 times, you know, you see the little spinning buffering.
I did try Smart Glass with that stuff, so that was kind of
How'd that go?
That was cool. I mean really it's kind of, I usually have my, it just replaces having your controller next to you. But because at its basic function you can use it as a controller. And then the Amazon stuff, you know, it doesn't bring up like the information of the extra information about the show. That's probably all through the Xbox store. But that was still pretty cool that I always have my iPad next to me when I'm watching TV. So I don't have to dig through and find my controller for my living room. So cool that that stuff's working.
Josh, when you watched John Carter, did you watch the Blu-ray?
Yeah.
Did you do the smart glass thing that they had in there on the special features?
No.
I didn't either. I looked at it for a little bit, but I thought that was pretty cool that they included that on the Blu-ray.
That's it's neat, but
you, you could sync up your iPad app to go with it, the iPad app to go along with that's it cool. And learn about different content, I guess.
Somebody else something else did that recently that was a big deal thing. I don't know. Oh, well, HBO's doing it. HBO's got that.
The one they keep promoting is
The Walking Dead has it. They've got an app that's like separate. It's not the smart glass stuff, but it does the same thing.
It syncs up and
It syncs up with
The John Carter stuff's not smart glass, but it's
That's what I'm saying. Like, there's other people doing the same kind of thing.
I didn't even know that. Yeah, I didn't even know they were doing it.
Well, I mean, if they produce the content and it works with smart glass, that's cool. If they have to have their own app,
whatever. You want to talk horror films for a second?
I'm gonna close with it. Because the next stuff.
I'm so pumped for this. I see it on your list. Go ahead. Okay. Hurry up.
Sticking with streaming stuff, for whatever reason, I started really playing with. I've used Spotify since whenever it became available in the US. And I abuse it on my phone and been a subscriber and that kind of stuff. But I've never really played with the playlists. And I have subscribed to a few public ones. But. Been talking a lot. There's a new Deftones album coming up, but I've always joked that I'm not the biggest Deftones fan because you have to train your ear to listen to them, and I only like certain songs. So I made a Deftones playlist, and I was talking to Coop, one of the writers on our site, about it, and he's like, "Oh, I haven't messed with that stuff either." And then he creates a playlist that I am quite proud of, based off of. Our one-time clan called Shoddy to the Face, he now made a playlist that is called Punch Someone in the Face, which is all of our heavy metal classics that Josh Lee is a huge fan of. And spending an evening just coming up with songs that would you punch someone in the face while listening to this song was basically the criteria, became very humorous. So
how much Fred Durst is on your
there's no list? There is no Limp Bizkit on there. But pulling out classics like Sepultura and Slayer was a lot of fun after having not listened to them for 3 to 4 years. So you're like expecting 12 to 15 years.
For good reason, maybe.
So seek out the Punch Someone in the Face playlist.
Are there any bands you listen to that weren't more popular in the 90s than they are now?
That's a fair question. But the other side of that, I got really frustrated with so you can create your own private playlist and share that with people. People can subscribe to it, but they can't control it. If you create a public playlist, it becomes public domain where anyone can come through and add and remove anything at any given point. So we couldn't actually tag team this playlist, and that became really frustrating. So I think that's a feature that would be pretty useful as someone that used to make a lot of mix CDs and that kind of thing. So anyway, that was a lot of fun and a good distraction last week, music-wise. Then, yes, we were this weekend just trying to find a bunch of horror movies to watch, and I heard really great things about VHS. Mm-hmm. And this is a found footage film. I am a big found footage film fan.
As am I.
Cole can attest to my high school obsession with the Blair Witch Project and my 3 months of denial that, no, this is a real movie, and I really wanted the marketing to be true. And just
the fact that you dragged all your friends into it.
Yeah, it was awesome.
My name used to be Mark. I changed it to Josh after watching Blair Witch.
Great. I loved it.
Also a big fan of the Paranormal Activity movies, at least recommend it highly for the first watch. I have not seen the new movie yet. Mm.
1 and 3, awesome. Two's fine.
I like 2.
2's fine, but 3 is really good.
And so I've been looking for other movies, and VHS, which is available for. So I don't even, has it been in theaters? Because right now the Amazon stuff said
it's just done the film festival circuit.
Okay,
but it's on Stars right now. Stars are one of those like movie channel, the cheap movie channel package on cable. It's like on one of those channels because that's where I saw it.
And Amazon had it as rent this while it's in theaters, and it's a certain amount of money. So We got it, and after watching the trailer, kind of got the premise. So it's a found footage film about a bunch of dudes that have to go to this house and retrieve a VHS tape and stuff. But essentially, it gives them the plot point to tell multiple found footage storylines, which in theory could be awesome because, you know, if you break out a 2-hour film into 5 or 6 stories, then they're like, you know, 20 minutes a piece. And some of these stories tend to fall apart after a certain amount of time. I didn't like it, unfortunately. I was underwhelmed with, there are a lot of cool ideas in it. And I really like the gore because I really like, how, you know, you can use shitty cameras and found footage films and pull off special effects that look realistic.
Yeah.
And the stories were just all over the map and just...
Well, there were what, 5?
There are 5.
Including the overarching one or 6 including the wraparound story?
I think it's 4 and then plus the overarching, the guys.
And they were all directed by different directors, written and directed by completely different separate teams that were not aware of the stories of the other teams. And they... like came up with a completely different genres almost of horror films. There's creature film, slasher, thriller, then there's like a haunted house story. Mm-hmm.
That was my favorite one.
And then the one on Skype.
So there was 5 and plus the guys. I really liked this. I like 2. Apparently, I like 2 of these 5.
Which ones?
I like the haunted house.
Yeah, I've loved it. That was great.
That was really well done. Yeah. And then
great effects and likable characters. Somehow.
And the Skype one was just messed up. And I like that one.
Me too. Yeah, I like that one too.
The
very first one.
I like the ending to the slasher because that was really fucked up. But the rest of it just. I think what got me, wore me out was because they had to establish all these characters that they have, like, you know, the that have all the tropes of every kind of horror film, and it's just because you're reintroduced to these dumbasses time and time again, like they're new people, but they're the same archetypes that the pattern, like, is you're beat over the head with the pattern of these films, and I don't know, it just.
I didn't feel like the characters in a few of the films they were not the best, but I thought overall, like, a lot of the acting was actually pretty decent for being like a low budget indie thing. And the first film, they've got this group of guys, they're like party dudes, and they got some of those glasses that have like the camera in the middle. And that, and then the guy who's wearing the nanny cam costume and the other story, like
he's dressed up as the
nanny cam, and he actually has a camera in it, just like the nanny cam. I think great excuses to have a camera along with you to film all this stuff. Otherwise, you know, it's instead of just like that Cloverfield thing where you're like, put the fucking camera down.
I think my problem was I wanted to be creeped out and scared like Paranormal Activity. I wanted like more like it wasn't. It wasn't scary.
It had moments.
It was more, but it was more like
several.
It was more like slasher. Like, I don't know.
Well,
it was just
okay. So that,
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe my expectations were just a little tempered going in.
I was coming off of somebody saying that it was just awesome. Like it was my expectations were really up there. Like I have found something here. I have, like, this is the next big thing. And
like, I appreciated a lot of stuff about it. I know where its flaws are, where something maybe bigger budget or with a single vision wouldn't have these problems. But like, just like that, these guys did these like little separate stories, and there are each one of them has something that works really well in it.
Yeah,
like the one in the woods.
Yeah,
is it time to get up? Alarms going off. But the one in there's like one in the woods where these kids, it's like they're playing it like a Friday the 13th film, and going through it, I'm like, wow, the acting from one of these characters is so bad. For the main girl, like, she is wooden as hell, and then like by the end of it, you go, oh, she was actually she was acting that like she was acting because there was something she's trying to pull off. But that one, the special effects in that one, like the dude, the creature thing, was really cool. That was wicked. That was really neat effect.
I would watch like 20 more of these little short things. I don't think I even need the overarching.
Well, you're going to get it because they're making a sequel already.
Are they? Yeah. Fair enough.
Yep. You're going to get it again. I got to add on to this. I watched Grave Encounters for the first time.
Heard good things.
You haven't seen it. I thought you'd. Oh shit. Yeah. This was just part of like an evening of horror films off Netflix. And, it was awesome. Like it's like a mockumentary kind of thing about like a ghost hunters type of show. You know how like, you know, just it's that like, it's, I mean, these guys, the guys that wrote this obviously had watched a bunch of those shows, and these characters are just, they're just kind of like making fun of it.
Sounds like I'm watching that tomorrow.
Yeah. But it turns out to be actually pretty fucking creepy, and like there's some genuine scares. The location, the setting for the film is one of the most genuine like scary settings. Like you know, the old abandoned hospital thing's been done before, but not like this is the best location for like there's no way you could spend a night in there like without shit in your pants. And then the way they use it in the film, and I'm sure, and they make it seem just like labyrinthine, like in its size and stuff. Oh my God, you've got to watch it. You'll love it. I promise you'll love it.
Cole, you want to make it a horror threesome? Anything you've seen recently? Yes.
I haven't watched any horror movies recently. Sorry. But I definitely want to watch VHS and what's this?
Grave Encounters. Okay. Yeah.
And it's on Netflix?
Found footage as well. Yeah, that's on Netflix. VHS you're going to have to get on
it's
demand
on
service.
It's on Amazon right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing is we watch
I've
VHS during the
other
day.
Places.
So maybe I do need to go back and watch that at night.
I was like dark headphones, just me. And then I watched it again with Kylie.
That's a whole other thing. Watching it by yourself.
I can't do that.
I always
shit.
That's how I watch
dark headphones.
I always watch the found footage movies like that once before I watch it with somebody else.
I can't
else.
Do that.
I did it with Paranormal Activity 1, like the Oh God, that was awesome. That was a cool experience. Yeah, that's how I like it. You know, like nobody, you know, there to distract. It's just you, dark room.
That's how he likes it.
put plenty of space behind you, so you're constantly turning around to see if the door's opened or whatever. Yeah, horror films, man. I like them, even when they're not awesome.
Yeah.
Or you know, you find the good stuff. Because there's a lot of really shit ones. Yeah. Like Dark House. That's another one I saw on Netflix. Don't watch
House.
It. It's bad. Yeah. That's. Let's not even. We're not even going to go there. All right. We're running long. That'll do it for this episode. Episode 20 of Super Gaming Best Friends.
Congratulations.
Yowzer.
You've only hosted 19, though.
That's. We're not going to talk about that. That's the lost episode. And we'll keep it there. So, yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Join us next week, next Tuesday, for another episode of The Horrible Show. As always, we are doing these live every Tuesday around 7:30, 8 o'clock Eastern time. We do live show on twitch.tv/horriblenight. Then we do live gaming afterwards like we're about to do now. So thanks for joining us. Thanks, Cole, for coming on. Yeah. Sorry, Ethan, we lost you earlier and then didn't
Hopefully
talk about you again.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm sure he's fine.
I'm hoping his computer's not
I'm
dead.
Sure. Yeah. That'd be awful.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah. And thanks, Justin. So, and thanks audience, live audience for hanging out with us, and we'll see you guys in 2 weeks.